You are now listening to Cinema Crespediso.
You feel bad for Ava? Feel bad for yourself, man. One day the AIs are going to look back on us the same way we look at fossil skeletons in the plains of Africa. An upright ape living in dust with crude language and tools, all set for extinction.
I am become death, the destroyer of worlds.
Hand me the keys, your fairy godmother.
This is bozo, man.
Where'd you get that beauty scar, tough guy? Eating pineapple?
Stuff you.
He sound like a great big chicken just waiting to be plucked.
Yippee-ki-yay, Mr. Falcon.
That's bullcrap.
Freak you, Sam Rothstein, freak you!
I have had it with these monkey fighting snakes on this Monday to Friday plane!
You see what happens, Larry? You see what happens when you find a stranger in the Alps?
Welcome to Cinema.
All right, welcome to episode 141 of Cinema Crespediso. How's it going? I'm your host, your intrepid host, Chris Crespo, a.k.a. Christopher Crespo, a.k.a. The Cress, a.k.a. Merry Christmas. I'm hanging out with the doctor himself, Dr. Drew Jusicogburn. Drew!
What up, Chris? How's it going?
How you doing, dude? That was your werewolf call. We need a werewolf call for Drew Sicogburn, where it's like,
but I'm not a werewolf.
Are you sure?
Yes.
I mean, I haven't seen you in the last couple of full
moons. I drank a Coors Light a couple of nights ago, so.
But during a full moon?
It doesn't matter if it's during a full moon or not. So the world would still kill me.
Would it?
Yes. I'm not a werewolf, Chris.
Not since the silver bullet.
When's the last time you had a silver bullet? Prove you're not a werewolf.
I had one recently. I had that big tall boy for it back. Returning guest.
Yes.
Let me check here. We've had him on here. Episode 39, episode 78, episode 115. Now here for episode 141, returning guest Etchy.
Yes.
Here we go. Give me one of those.
I'm excited.
How you doing, dude?
Third episode.
Fourth episode.
This
is your fourth episode.
Oh, fourth episode. And I do believe every time it was a different house, was it?
Yes, you are one of the few.
Yeah.
To be in every studio.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's like you, Big Mike hasn't been here yet, but he will be soon. Big Mike was at the soon Studio enough. 3. Anthony Davis was at Studio 3. Baby Lack.
Man. So are you guys the type of people that like you just like a new?
We need to keep moving.
Yeah.
For a while there, the studio was mobile. We were originally the studio was on a boat in the middle of international waters, and then see you were there for that. And then the studio was for a short time there. We were just driving around in the back of an 82 Pontiac Firebird.
It's a waste though. If you're an international water, you need a casino.
We could have.
There was no room. We threw bones on the poop deck.
We did lots of drinking.
We had a monkey knife fight.
Yeah, we did.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's one of my favorite songs.
Chris still has a scar on his back from it.
So I got my back scar. I got my forehead scar. Little scar right there. They were tiny monkey knives. Very small hands. Small hands. These monkeys. Welcome to episode 141. We thank you so much for downloading. Etchy, thank you for coming on.
Absolutely.
Again. We appreciate it. We have a lot for you guys. We talk about movies every week. And you know what? Let's just go ahead and get started because we have so much to do. Let's get started with that Netflix instant pick of the week, and I got the intro, so here we go.
for the entertainment that you see. Time for the Netflix pick of the week. The Netflix instant pick of the week.
Here we go. Get edgy. Use Crespo Diesel randomizer 9000. Thank you, sir. Jusa Cogburn is going to verify that that is still on there. He's giving us a thumbs up. We're good to go. You can go to chriscrespo.com. It's recently renovated, redesigned, renewed chriscrespo.com. We're in the process of updating the site, so it's going to look a little different. Go there to check out past Netflix instant picks of the week. Etchy, what is this week's Netflix pick?
The Babadook.
The Babadook?
I've never heard of this.
You haven't heard of
the Babadook? Babadook is one of these. Look at that, Babadook. Babadooky. Australian. Mm. The Babadook is Australian horror. About a woman who has a young son, mm-hmm. who is a pain in the ass. He's a real handful. Freaks out a lot. And they read a mysterious book. There's a book that just pops up like on her bookshelf or on the kid's bookshelf. And she reads it to him. It's a pop-up book. She reads it to him at night before he goes to bed. And it's all like creepy and weird. And it's about the Babadook. And the Babadook is coming.
Scariest pop-up book you'll ever see.
Yeah, really creepy. Extra creepy. Like to the point where you're like, no one would ever make this book.
Would you read a book?
Exactly.
Like, well, like that to a kid before she goes to...
Because she hadn't seen it before, so as she was reading, she's like, oh, she's reading. Okay, page one. Okay, page two. Oh, this is a little weird.
Page and then
she's
five. Like, what?
Yeah, page three. She's like, what? And then she stopped reading, just skipped ahead. And she's like, we're not reading this anymore. And then for a while, it's like, the kid's like, I want to read the book. And she's like, no. And she keeps trying to get rid of it. She burns it. Then it comes back. You know, shit like that.
Weird.
And then the Babadook starts knocking on the door and terrorizing her and the kid. It's a pretty crazy movie, and it's a movie about, like, thematically, you know, it's about not the perils, but the troubles of raising children. What if, you know, it's hard to raise, some people have it harder than others raising their kids, even though they mean well and they try their best. Kids are still people, they have their own temperaments and, you know, brain chemicals, and it makes them all different, and some of them are harder to control and deal with than others. So the movie is definitely a parallel to when parenting can get tough.
Yeah.
And some of the darker thoughts. Because the whole thing was written by a woman who was like, you know, she was pretty much admitting to having some dark thoughts about her kids, you know, and that manifesting itself in some sort of a demon type thing.
I kind of like that. Like the exploration of how parents feel about their kids, just because, like, you know, of course they love them more than anything.
Yeah, well, but
for the most part.
Yeah, exactly.
But because of that, like, if there's any kind of trace of any other type of thought, they will never release it.
It's hard.
Because
you have to deny that.
Yeah.
Like, I can't think like that about my kids because I love my kids
so much.
It's
the ultimate betrayal of, you know, yeah. And I think I would just love to, I don't know, hear about that. I wouldn't like to hear about my own mother's.
But the movie posits in a way, puts it on a way that puts in perspective and in an entertaining, interesting way in the framework of a horror film of a kind of a sort of a haunting type of style of horror movie, you know, like knock at the door, open the door and there's no one there, that type of shit.
Okay. Yeah. You
know?
Yeah. It's classic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And really well made. Good stuff. We saw the Enzian, right, Drew?
Yes.
Yeah.
I love seeing stuff there. Like, literally, and it makes such an impression that you could tell me something from years ago, like a movie from years ago, and I'll be like, oh, I saw that at the Enzian.
Yeah.
Like, I just don't forget that.
Hey, I remember first time I went to the Enzian, first movie I saw there, Requiem for a Dream.
Nice.
Yeah. I remember sitting in the parking lot after the movie being like, I don't feel well.
What?
Yeah. Yeah.
What just happened to me?
Yeah. I didn't feel well for days.
Yeah, I physically feel like,
ill.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ill. I believe I think it was Family Guy. It might have actually been... American Dad, but you know, McFarlane, where they did the that bit, like they parodied that bit of like the needle going in and then like the crushing,
and then
and the eyes going big and stuff. And I mean, like, even then it was in cartoon form and I laughed because I got the reference, but was still like, ugh.
Yeah, it makes drug intakes. Oh boy, good times. So the Babadook, good pick,
okay,
good stuff there, Australian. Horror. Drew Cogburn.
Yes, sir.
You ready for that box office recap, sir?
Yes, sir.
What do you got over there? What you got?
Surprisingly, actually.
Surprising the peoples.
At number five this week.
Number five.
With a total theater count of only 545 theaters.
Only 545 theaters. That's a limited release. That's nothing.
It still made $7.5 million.
$7.5 million on 500 screens.
Everest.
Wow, really? Everett's only on 500 screens?
Yes, only 545 screens.
No shit, I thought that would have been
usually
a wider
that
release.
Would be, yeah.
I like at least 2,000.
Yeah, well, I mean, usually when I think of something that small, like I'm picturing something with like French subtitles or...
An independent movie, something that's playing at the Enzian.
Happiness was 82 theaters.
Exactly.
Yeah, I saw it at the Enzian.
Exactly. Precisely, only 500. That is, that's very interesting. And it made seven?
Seven and a half.
Wow. That's good.
That is good.
That's really good. I wonder if they're going to expand it then over the next few weeks. It's playing... Is that even playing here? I think it is playing here. I like the show times. Well, we're going to be seeing that soon. I want to see Everest. We haven't had a chance to see it yet.
Nope.
But it's a mountain climbing survival movie. I mean,
we know what's going to happen.
Yeah, it's pretty simple. We know what's going to happen. They're going to go up there. Shit's going to go bad. And they got to try to get down without all dying.
Yes. They make it to the top unscathed. Getting down...
Or do they make it to the top unscathed? Maybe they have problems on the way. I mean, they do make it to the top because of the shot of Jake Gyllenhaal touching the tip. And he's like, ding.
In the last preview, I mean, apparently getting to the top is the easiest part.
Apparently in this movie it is. Yeah.
When they said that, it made sense to me because have you ever noticed, like, as shitty as it is when you want to go somewhere, like upstairs, you're just like, oh, God, stairs. It's harder on your back when you're going down. Like, you have to,
brace yourself against gravity as you're going down.
Yeah, and you're using leg muscle to, you know what I mean, balance and like to go down.
That's why they say a cow can't go downstairs.
No. Yes, that's true.
But I think they can.
Yeah, they can.
But that's what they say.
It's very hard.
It is very hard. You just got to smack it on the ass in the right way and then make sure it doesn't bowl kick you in the throat. Mm. Yeah. Mountain climbing. I want to see. It looks good. The guy who made the movie wanted to shoot on Everest. And then everyone else was like, you're stupid.
You're nuts.
You know? So it's like, oh, can we shoot in these smaller mountain ranges? And they're like, oh, we'll work on something. So it's a mix of like getting shots on mountain ranges where they were legit like dodging avalanches and shit, the crew, and getting like. When you go up really high and the atmosphere is thin and you start getting sick?
Altitude sickness.
Like they had to suffer through altitude sickness. You got real shots like that and then a whole lot of shots that were on sound stages and then melded two together. And apparently it looks good, the melding of the two.
Whenever I hear, I mean, it's usually done really well so you can't tell, but whenever I am watching a movie and I just know, like I have the knowledge, you know what I mean, that it has been shot... on a soundstage, like none of it's real, and it's a snowy mountain. A perfect example is Lord of the Rings.
Yep.
The first one, they decide to go back. They're all in the snow. They decide to go back into the dwarf. You know what I mean? Go through the mountain.
Yes, into the mountain. Yeah.
Right. Yep. And they're like, we have to go back, and there's snow everywhere.
Uh-huh.
Okay, they were sweating like pigs because that snow stuff
was all fake.
It's all fake snow, and that fake snow doesn't breathe. If you have a lot on you, I mean, it clogs your pores. I mean, it makes you miserable.
Yeah.
So even during that shot in the movie, because yes, it was a soundstage, the entire time I'm just like, I'm uncomfortable because I'm picturing...
Because you know how uncomfortable they are.
Exactly. And I mean, they were just like... And I don't know. I think it's the strangeness of the fact that it was so hot. And
that's
supposed to be so cold.
Especially depending on when they want to release a movie. Mm-hmm. A lot of times, like people making Christmas movies, they have to make that during the summer.
Yeah.
Because they want to come out during Christmas. So they're all like parkas and shit. And there's fake snow everywhere, just like you're talking about.
Yep.
And they're pretending like, oh, I'm cold. Let's drink this hot cocoa. And the whole time they're like sweating underneath all that shit. And they have to have like PAs come out between takes and get the sweat off their forehead. Yeah. And then the opposite is when like someone's making like a movie that's supposed to come out during the summer. If it's set during the summer, but you want to come out during the summer. But that shit, yeah, shoot that in the fucking fall and the winter.
Everyone, you got people on their short shorts and their t-shirts and they're freezing their asses off.
Get in your bikinis and get into the Atlantic Ocean. You know what? It's the summer.
You know what? I recently
like, no, it's not. I'm gonna die of hypothermia.
Also on Netflix, actually, it might have been Hulu. I think it was Netflix. Anyway, Wet Hot American Summer. Yes, Netflix. Yeah.
The first day of camp.
That too. I loved it. It was great.
And then they had that documentary.
But they had the documentary. In the documentary, they were saying like, you know, like the whole time it was supposed to be summer. They were like, it was like 30, 40 something degrees
and raining.
And raining the entire time. And it's just, I always found that so amazing that it looks like it's 85, 90 degrees, and they're all freezing their ass off.
Yeah, and it looks like a sunny day.
Uh-huh.
And apparently it's raining and it's muddy everywhere the whole time.
Yeah. I just...
like, how do they do it?
Such an amazing movie.
Movie magic! Jinx.
What?
Did you really just jinx me?
Yeah, and you
seriously?
Spoke.
32.
And you talk. That means I get a, what, punch you now in the arm?
We're in our mid-30s, Chris.
That means I got to punch
seriously?
You. I got to punch you in the arm.
Seriously.
Mid-30s, still early 30s.
Same thing.
I'm like in middle of the early... middle of the early 30s.
34?
No, that would be closer to mid
30s. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Yeah, yeah, no, no. Because
although you are closer to 34 than you are 33, sir.
What do they say on the Rotten Tomatoes about that pistol player, buddy? You son of a bitch.
Actually, I didn't look that one up.
Because it was all like, let me tell you, 70% approval rating on Everest, average rating 6.7 out of 10, consensus.
Oh, no, 73%, 6.6 out of 10. Sorry.
You're close.
It's pretty damn close if you ask me. Shit.
Yeah.
Consensus?
Oh, consensus. Thrilling and adventurous. Everest is fun for the whole family.
Ah, close.
What does it say?
Dizzying cinematography.
Dizzying, no!
mountain climbers, content, tread less challenging narrative terrain.
Yeah,
Jake Gyllenhaal is not here.
When you said fun for the whole family, like, that's where I was like, that one's wrong.
I don't know about that. Grandma wants to see Josh Brolin
almost die.
The
other stuff you said.
Hanging over a crevasse. I don't want to see it. I like the all the actors, and it's a mountain movie. I want to see a mountain movie.
I think what I was most surprised about, now that I think about it, is, yeah, I saw a commercial for it. And usually when you
I've seen tons of trailers and commercials for it. That's why
That's why count. Yeah, like you'd expect it to be in every theater.
Yeah, exactly.
That's weird.
Very surprising.
It's very weird.
Drew Zuckerman.
That's why I brought it up.
Number four.
Yeah. Number four.
Good job, Drew.
The Perfect Guy. Weekend gross, $9.6 million, total of 41.
I would have expected. Well, this is the second week it came out, right? It came out last week. All right. So, yeah. And it opened number one last week, didn't it? Yeah. That's what I expected. You know, these small niche movies, there's always room in the marketplace for these little dramas that are like 100% for adults. You know, it's like a Fatal Attraction type thing. We've said that a bunch of times. So the numbers only make sense.
Yeah, well, and not only that, but I mean, if you were to take that and do profit, like instead of like how much they made,
yep,
it'd beat a lot of big movies.
Oh yeah,
you know, I mean,
this movie only cost $12 million to make.
Yeah, exactly,
and it's already made 41.
Yeah, it's a cheapo. It's gonna make that money on the DVD and on video and the Redbox and the streaming and all that stuff too.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Speaking of another cheap movie that made a shit ton of money,
what we got?
Number three, The Visit made an additional $11.3 million, total of 42.
Wow.
Budget of $5 million.
Yeah, that's impressive.
That is impressive.
That M. Night Shyamalan's The Visit, written and directed by him, produced by the guy that did Insidious and Sinister and those type of horror films.
I've been dying to see it because you know people made fun of him for like the longest time.
Sure. Yeah, he's falling
off. He made
bad
movies.
Yeah, falling off. He did three or four great ones and then three or four ranging from meh to no.
Yeah. I didn't see any of the bad ones.
Lady in the Water?
No, I didn't
see
it.
Some people like Lady in the Water.
Yeah, I didn't see it.
Do you like The Village? Did you see The Village?
Yes, I liked it.
And you liked it? Okay. Uh-huh. Some people like that too. I liked the first half of it.
I
wish the movie was a straight up monster movie.
Yeah. But see, I don't look ahead with movies. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I am in the moment with movies.
Yeah, and I was in the moment too. Although, but to be fair, for The Village,
yeah,
I did have that one before I even saw the movie. I had the ending spoiled for me. So I knew what the twist was and that it was coming. So I was still, like you said, I was trying to enjoy the movie in the moment, despite knowing what was coming. And then when it did come, I was like, I wish it had just been a monster movie the whole time.
Well, see, and because of it, too, everything's a surprise to me. Like, you know, I don't predict anything, but it's because I'm not thinking about it. It's almost like, it's funny because if you don't think about it, like it almost, you almost want to say I turn my brain off, but I don't because I'm thinking about what's happening at the time.
Yeah.
So, but I like that about how I watch things, because when, you know, that surprise happened, I was like,
oh shit. Yes.
Oh God, right. My brain exploded.
That's what my favorite part about film festivals now is, like the Florida Film Festival. I cover it every year. We cover it, right? And what I like to do is I look at the list of movies and try to, based on the titles and the genre, I'll try to pick the movies I want to see. But then I won't watch the trailers. I won't like read the synopsis. I'll try to go into the movie knowing
just the title.
Yeah, I'll try to know as little as possible. If I have to read like the first line of the synopsis just to get like, I still know what's going on.
A graphic though, right? Like
there's the one still image,
right,
that they put up.
You do look at that.
I have no choice but to look at it because I'm looking at the film guide, so there's going to be that one picture there. But I try to go into all these movies knowing as little as possible, because when you do that, then even the most basic movie is like a fucking, as you're going through, like I have no idea where this movie's about, where it's going. It's a goddamn shock. As opposed to like seeing trailers for The Visit over and over and over and over. And then when I go see the movie, now I'm waiting to get to these different beats for these things to happen. I know what's coming in many ways.
Well, especially when it's a... it becomes a huge deal. Kind of like a lot of people...
The bigger... Yeah.
A lot of people had no choice but to go see Zombieland knowing... Who, you know, the...
Then there was a big review
the cameo.
There. Yeah,
yeah,
there's a big cameo in there.
That would have pissed me off.
Knowing that ahead of time?
Luckily, I did not know that.
Yeah.
And it blew me away. But, like, when, you know, later down the line, people were like, oh, my God, in that part. And they just say it, and you're like,
I don't know, why man. Did you? I'm so... Still on.
Especially when they're playing themselves. Like, that is just...
Yeah, that was funny. That was
so good.
That was good stuff. Well, The Visit, I like The Visit. I thought it was pretty good. Not great, but I thought it was good. Definitely worth checking out, especially if you're into Shyamalan, for sure. That was number three, Drew?
Yeah, number two is Black Mass.
Black Mass, here we go. We saw this one.
We can gross $23.36 million. Same as total.
Okay, Black Mass, the Johnny Depp as Jimmy James Whitey Bulger.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently don't call him Whitey.
Nope.
I've seen, I saw it on TV, but I didn't know it'd come out yet, because I just started seeing the previews for it.
Yeah, it's one of those things where they put out some commercials for it, but not too many.
They were in front of all the movies, though.
In front of all the movies we saw. We kept seeing them, and we've been seeing them in movies for the last month and a half. We've been seeing that trailer.
I think whether people realize it or not, I think the biggest reason that they're going to see it is that he's finally out of that, I don't want to say rut because it was good, but that whole acting different variations of... Jack Sparrow.
Yeah, like with the because it was. Let me see. Did the Mad Hatter? He did, of course, Jack Sparrow four times during this period.
Yep.
Charlie the Chocolate Factory. Right. Yeah. It was Willy Wonka. That weird, like Michael Jackson. Yeah. Jackson like Willy Wonka. What else did he do? He just did the Into the Woods, where I guess he was some sort of giant cat thing, a cat monster of some sort.
I don't think I saw that.
I didn't see that either. Nope. But he's been in a lot of these characters. Is all under makeup and stuff, and even something like Mordecai. Mordecai stunk. What a shitty movie.
Oh yeah, I didn't have to see it to know that.
Yeah, exactly. But this one though, is even though he's still under a bunch of makeup, he's playing a real person.
Yeah. Well, I don't think makeup was like really the huge issue. It's just the through a lot of what he was doing, and even then,
it's
people
an extension of.
I hate this too. Yeah, where people go, they're like, oh, he's just acting like Jack Sparrow. You know, and I'm going, no. He's acting like Hunter S. Thompson.
Some ways, yeah.
Because I don't know. He's just got this goofy thing. And I think the most frustrating part is we all know Johnny Depp throughout the years. We know he's capable of doing something completely different. And that's what we want him to do.
And I feel like with
Looks like he's gone back to trying something different and new.
Yeah, because he's... just pent up rage and he's a violent dude. And you expect him to like strike out at people at pretty much any moment.
Yeah.
So it's almost like he's stalking the edge of the frames at all times, like a predator ready to ready to pounce. Like shit, this guy is dangerous.
Too, with those fucking blue eyes, creepy as hell.
Crazy, creepy blue eyes. So we saw this movie, Drew. What did you think of Black Mass?
It was fantastic. Yeah. I mean, some of the acting could have been a little bit better, but you know that wasn't Johnny Depp's fault.
No,
Johnny Depp did a great job.
He was fine. Benedict Cumberbatch, I felt like,
Joel Edgerton annoyed the crap out of me in this movie.
The way he acted, or the character,
just him in general,
just him.
Yeah,
because he's not a very likable character.
No, not a very likable character. He wasn't. His accent wasn't very good.
The accent worked. Now that's what I was bringing up between Australian Edgerton and Englishman Cumberbatch. I felt like their Boston accents felt like caricatures.
Yeah.
Like instead of them being normal accents, like we're doing accents.
Yeah.
Well, which is weird because like on when you're a big star and you're doing a high budget movie, you know there was a coach.
Oh yeah,
I'm sure. You know what I mean? Like,
and they're doing the best they can, but you know what? Yeah. I mean. It's still not easy, especially if it's...
Oh, no, of course not.
Especially if American, like American-style English isn't even your first language.
They should have just had Mark Wahlberg dub.
They should have just had Mark Wahlberg come in there and be like, guys, just fucking leave Whitey Bulger alone. He's just a Southie like you and I. We're going down to Dorchester. We're going to get some Cutty Sock.
Get wicked retarded.
And we're going to get wicked retarded. I know I shouldn't be saying retarded, but I'm a fucking Southie from Boston. I don't know any fucking better. I was in Alcatraz for 9 fucking years.
I love Boston accents.
Do you?
Yeah.
I guess they're okay to make fun of, or they're okay on.
I think that's.
I can't stand chicks with Boston accents.
It is that level.
That is that joke from Ted, though.
It is that level. Like when I say I love it, it's not like when most people talk about French accents. It's not like oh
yeah.
No, it's I just love true. Boston. Oh my God, Minnesota.
Minnesota's yeah, a fun yeah. one.
I mean, I watched all of Fargo, and I'm just like, I can't get enough.
Oh, the funny looking one. And he says, you know, we're getting the action up around on the lake. I'm going crazy over on the lake. Yeah, that accent. That's a fun one.
Yeah, the first time I heard that accent was Bobby's World.
Yeah,
and. Since, I mean, you know, I've never been up north. I'd never, you know, and I was just a kid. I thought they made a crazy voice for the mom. I did not know that was actually an accent.
Yeah, that was a Uper, an upper Uper uh-huh. or whatever.
Yeah.
That's funny.
I love it.
But yeah, they're doing weird Boston accents. And as good as Cumberbatch and Edgerton are and can be, the accent work did feel like a... Yeah. But that was a little to be expected. Also, Cumberbatch isn't in it that much.
No.
Because his character is the senator brother of Whitey Bulger. Mm. The guy wasn't really complicit in anything. So he's in a handful of scenes where they're like, hey, can you help us out? And he's like, no. All right, thanks, man. So I'll talk to you later, I guess.
Dinner? Awesome.
Dinner? Okay, cool. We're good. Kevin Bacon's in it. He's cool.
For a second.
Yeah, for a couple scenes. He gets to do a lot of screaming. That's like the FBI guy.
So, I like Kevin Bacon.
Corey Stahl has been getting a lot of work lately. He was the bad guy in Ant-Man. He did the first season of House of Cards. Mm-hmm. Bald guy. He's on The Strain right now.
Was Kevin Bacon, was his first movie, was that...
his first movie.
Friday the 13th?
That was Johnny Depp.
No.
Yes, Friday the 13th. Yes, his first movie was Friday the 13th. He got killed.
And he was the first one to die.
He was the first one to die. He got macheted through the back.
Up through the... Right? Yeah, 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 through the bed.
Through the bed.
Yep.
Johnny Depp, his first movie was Nightmare on Elm Street.
Which, by the way, usually, just like my not thinking ahead, or you know what I mean? Because I don't like to think too much in that... I don't want to figure something out. Mm-hmm. I want it to play out and be surprised.
Sure.
But so a lot of times too, while watching a movie, I don't go, oh, that's, you know, like I don't pick stuff apart or whatever. Mm-hmm. But this was the one time where, you know, again, if you haven't seen it, it's Kevin Bacon, he lays down on the bed mm-hmm. and a big machete goes straight through the bed and him.
Yeah.
The machete is too long, even if you had the handle on the floor. Uh-huh. To go through.
Oh, it's like to get underneath the
yeah,
bed.
Like,
yeah,
unless he removed the flooring underneath the bed.
Hey, he very well might have.
He might have. And was like, you know, in a basement stabbing him. Like,
yeah. I mean, he dug a hole underneath.
This is Jason we're talking about here.
Yeah. That's true, yeah.
He went through.
I mean, he's a fast digger.
He's a fast everything. He walks faster than most people can run, drive, fly.
Well, wasn't that first one like his mom a lot of the time?
Yeah, yeah. It wasn't him. It was his mom.
It was his mom.
And he had a bag over his head.
He had a bag, it's of the mask.
The one thing I hate about that, though, is that, like, that's a great trivia question that now everybody knows the answer to because of Scream.
It was a great question.
Yeah, it was.
It was a great question. Just an amazing question. And then, you know, they put it in Scream, and now it's like everybody knows it.
Now everyone knows Chester E. Arthur is the 21st president of the United States. Thank you, Die Hard 3. So we both like. Yeah, I like Black Mass. It was a good movie.
It was good.
Johnny Depp was really good, really, really good. Movie's worth seeing just for him. But it's a good story. It's a true life story. It's all interesting stuff. I like the way it was made. It was good. Yeah. What did they say about it on Rotten Tomatoes?
76% certified fresh.
76. Okay.
6.8 out of 10.
6.8. Yeah, sure. I go around there.
The consensus is Black Mass spins a gripping yarn out of its fact-based story and leaves audiences with one of Johnny Depp's most compelling performances in years.
There we go.
See, that's what I'm looking for.
Compelling Johnny Depp.
Yeah, wow. and you know,
you found
that's,
it.
Like I said, that's the thing too. Is like there could be newer actors where you're like, come on, I know this actor can prove himself and do it. But like 100%, everybody knows Johnny Depp can do it because he's done it.
That he can. Yeah.
And you want him to, you know,
and you want him to be good.
But that makes me even angrier when he doesn't.
Well, that's what I mean. Like you know he can. So do it.
That's because he's also gotten to the point where a lot like actors like Marlon Brando and shit. He's gotten to a point where he's reached an age. Where he's convinced himself he doesn't care what other people think about what he does.
Yeah.
So he'll do anything for any reason, and he'll perform whatever the way he wants to perform. And if other people are like, this isn't working, it's not any good, he's like, I don't care. So I don't care. I just got paid millions of dollars. I'm going back to my house in southern France.
I do love, though, didn't he, wasn't he one of the very few actors that kind of snubbed the Academy Awards?
I don't think he did he?
I might be thinking of somebody else.
No Marlon idea. Brando did. When Marlon Brando won, he sent...
That's what I meant, yeah.
Yeah, he sent an... Oh, you're talking about Marlon Brando?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, when he won in the late 70s, he, I think it was for Godfather, he sent an actress who played an Indian woman, a Native Indian, to accept the award for him and then give a speech about the eradication of, you know, genocide of, of Natives and all that stuff.
See, I think I've expressed this before coming here. I just hate the Academy so much.
As you should.
Yeah. But the most frustrating part of it, though, is if I ever won an Academy Award, it would be for editing. In which, if I went, you know what? I'm not showing up. Nobody gives a shit.
No one cares.
Nobody cares.
Nobody would notice.
No one would care. Like, just send the producer up there to get it. He's like, Edgy sends his regards. 60 award gets off stage.
Yeah,
they'd be happy. Like, oh,
yeah, they'd be all like, who?
We just shaved 60 seconds off our runtime.
So exactly.
We have more time now for Neil Patrick Harris, sir.
Which is fine by me.
Give us more jokes. Yeah, we'll see. We'll see how it goes.
I love Neil Patrick Harris.
Have you seen this new show?
No.
It sucks.
Really?
What show is it?
Best Time Ever with Neil Patrick Harris.
It is the worst time ever.
It's an interactive variety game show type of thing on NBC.
I thought that was Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
No?
Nope.
He's doing one of those.
Is he doing it?
Yeah. I don't get it. Like,
well, Joseph Gordon-Levitt has one that he put on Netflix that's at Hit Record, where it's a whole thing where people, anyone, we could put a video together, send it in, and they'll play it on their show. It's like, viewer provided programming.
Maybe that's what I'm thinking of.
You might be thinking of that one.
I'm hoping that's the case.
I think so. Yeah, because this is more of a stage show, like your typical American Idol looking stage.
Yeah, it's not good.
And he's like, we're gonna play karaoke with people in their own living rooms.
Yeah.
You know, and we're gonna have a climbing competition with Reese Witherspoon.
That's the problem too, is at least with the content like you were talking about, where, you know, you can see it and stuff. It's, you know, people doing different stuff, but like the whole reason I can't get behind American Idol is they're not even writing their own stuff. They're doing other people's songs.
Yeah, they are. They always, almost always cover. Yeah.
And to me, I know I'm understating it. I mean, a little bit.
Uh-huh.
But when I see somebody singing, I don't care.
I don't care either.
Because
I think we put way too much emphasis on the importance and impressiveness of singing.
Yeah. Well, because
so many people,
everybody can do it. First of all, not well. Not necessarily.
Yeah, technically everyone can sing.
Yeah, but I mean, can you imagine? That's like saying, like, can you picture if everybody born could at least play a little bit of piano?
Right, yeah.
You see what I'm saying? Like, anybody can do it. Like, whereas musical instruments, like, you can't do shit.
Not anyone can just pick up a guitar and, like, make it sound eh.
Yeah, exactly.
Let alone not like much noise.
Yeah, it's not like infants are playing, well, I can only do three chords, but when I grow up.
Yeah, exactly. I agree.
Yeah, and I mean, there's always the taking it further. You get vocal coaches. You really, you know, like,
well, sure.
You actually do workouts to get, you know, a stronger voice and all that kind
of
stuff.
It's like we can all run, but some of us can, like, work harder at it and be better at running than others.
Exactly. And if you're...
Are you sure you can run, Chris?
I can run, like, give me, let's see, a quarter of my eighth of a mile. I can run, like, 10 feet, 20 feet.
All right.
Yeah, and
I can beat you in a short sprint.
No, you can't.
I can beat you in, like, an 8-foot race.
No.
Yeah. I'm fast off the line, Drew. I'm so fast off the line. I got inertia behind me. But the thing is, I can't keep it up, though. It's short burst.
The problem is, you also have more weight to start moving
forward. But I use that with my massive... Look at these muscles. My massive muscles. I use them to propel myself forward. I'm telling you, off the line, you would get smoked.
For what? Like,
for about
a quarter foot?
About 7 feet. 8 feet. 10 feet.
1 foot.
Set up a barefoot race back there out on the gravel.
Yeah. At that point, it's like, I can fall faster than you.
I could fall faster.
He can. Unless we're in a vacuum, in which case we fall at the exact same speed.
Science. All right. So let's. What's the number one movie?
Maze Runner: Colon Scorch Trials.
Maze Runner: Colon Scorch Trials.
We can gross $30.3 million, same as total.
No, okay. We saw this one because we saw the Maze Runner. Maze Runner was okay.
At least the Maze Runner was original.
It was more original because they're stuck in a maze. They're trying to get out of the maze, and there's the Glade and the Grievers and the Runners.
Now that
and
they're
the shooters,
out of the maze, it's just like every other teen dystopian movie that I've seen in the last 10 years.
Yeah, it's post-apocalyptic. There's factions and, like, who?
Stuff.
One group is the bad guy, the overtly bad.
This one kid's
corporation.
Neo.
Yeah, the one kid is the key to everything.
Does he have a long jacket though?
No, we
short jacket. Because that's what kills it.
He has a short jacket and a scarf.
He picks up a windbreaker like 20 minutes in, and then a scarf when they get to the mountains.
Okay, because that never looks. When I saw The Matrix and he had that jacket, I'm like, oh. What are you doing?
So we saw the Scorch Trials, and yeah, it was kind of like every other dystopian movie now, sort of. I mean, there's some things. Like, yeah, because now it's like a dystopian teen future thing mixed with like 28 Days Later.
I love that movie.
It's a great movie.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean doesn't mean I want my dystopian teen future movies mixed with 28 Days Later.
Yeah. Real quick, for I need this personal information.
Oh, okay.
The
Social Security number.
I've seen. I mean, I need this information personally. 28 Days Later, one of my favorite movies of all time.
Mm-hmm.
Shot on a Canon XL1. God, that's awesome. I was using a Canon XL1 at the time that came out. Yeah. So it really
one of the first wide released feature length digitally shot movies like that.
Yeah, and it doesn't even film in high def.
Yeah, and if you watch it, I think it holds up actually visually.
So it does.
Looks pretty damn well.
Well, because I mean, they made the whole thing look gritty, like the whole tone of the movie.
Yeah, they made it match.
Exactly.
They were looking for a certain look, and they made the camera do what they wanted it to do, as opposed to just the limitations of the camera. Which now people they're just using the camera because they want the red one look, or the Rexa, whatever.
Ari Alexi.
Yeah.
That's what they're filming Doctor Who on right now.
So personal information, what do you mean?
So yes. So 28 Days Later, one of my favorite movies of all time. I wanted to know, 28 weeks later? I haven't seen it.
You know what? Some people like it. I wouldn't like it that much. And actually, that movie bummed me out because it's directed by this dude, Juan Carlos Fresnadillo, who his first movie is a Spanish language film called Intacto, which is all about luck and people that can take each other's luck. And it's such a weird, cool movie.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I found that he got 28 weeks later, it's like, oh, maybe it'll be, it'll transfer over. It'll be good. And it's just a shaky cam mess of a film.
You think it's possibly because, like, if you're like a... Sometimes, you know, directors, when it comes to a type of film, are such a genius at that, but they can't do...
Other stuff? Yeah, sure. I mean, that happens, that some people are good at one thing, but they can't do another type of movie. Martin Campbell is a good journeyman action director. You know, his best movies are Bond movies. He did GoldenEye and then Casino Royale.
GoldenEye was so good.
Yeah, and those are the only Bond movies he's done. And he did the best Brosnan one, and he did the second best Daniel Craig one. So he's good.
I find it really weird that Daniel Craig's not doing it anymore.
There's multiple reports about that.
Oh, good.
There's rumors. Some say he's done, and some... I remember reading one thing where he's like, he signed an 8-film deal. He's going to be Bond for the next 15 years.
Yeah.
But he did those movies great, and then based on the success of Casino Royale, he got the Green Lantern gig, and then he did not make a good movie. He couldn't make a superhero movie for the life of him.
Yeah. You know,
the skill set didn't translate. Even though we're talking action, they're still so different type. Mm-hmm. You know, he couldn't handle all that extra CG and all that stuff. He needs a real world stuff.
Yeah.
So yeah, that could be it. It might not just been a good fit for him to do a movie like that type of... Don't want to call it a zombie movie, but the infectious type thing. So that movie did kind of bum me out a bit. And then this one, too, Scorched Straws. My expectations weren't that high for it, but it wasn't. I just wasn't that impressed. Yeah, it wasn't.
Which was
a little long, too.
A little long?
A little long.
Which, by the way, it's not so much a bad thing that, you know, if you just don't have as much range, it's... What's really bad is if you don't realize it and you do more.
Because
Kevin Smith, I love his movies. Dude, I would not give him a wildly different film.
Yeah.
Like, no.
He makes his style of film.
He makes his movies. Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
and when he tries to do anything even a little different, it's like, oh, this is not coming together.
Yeah. But see, at the same time, because he's got so much talent, it's just in that one area that I feel like he could be the target of people, you know, just being, he sucks.
Yeah.
Just because maybe they don't like what he's good. You know what I mean? Right. And it's like, it probably not as well, much credit.
Well, at least with Kevin Smith, he has hit a new stage in his career. And we're talking about him where he is now doing these much smaller films, but they're movies that he wants to make. And he's doing, he's in the midst of a Canadian horror trilogy. So
That's awesome.
Yeah. So he did Tusk, which came out like a year and a half ago. It was a weird movie. It was okay. Definitely different. Mm. But, you know. The main character is a podcaster, so you can see where Kevin Smith was coming from with there.
Nice.
The second movie he's doing is a movie called Yoga Hosers, which is some sort of horror film. But the main characters are two characters that were in Tusk for one scene. And they're two girls, like, millennial type girls or whatever, young girls that work at a convenience store. Mm. And one of them is Kevin Smith's daughter, and one of them is Johnny Depp's daughter.
Interesting.
Yeah, and they're going to be the lead of this movie. And then the third movie he's making after all that is... it's called Moose, I think.
Yeah.
And he describes it as Jaws, but with a moose.
Huh. That's awesome.
Yeah.
I would love to see Kevin Smith act. And when I say act, I mean actually be a character. Because, like, I loved him in Die Hard 4?
Live Free Die Hard.
He was one of the best parts. I loved him in that movie.
He was the fat hacker guy in his mom's basement.
Yeah, but even, I was going to say, it was him.
It was him.
If it wasn't him, like, that type of part, anybody can do, because it's just a guy complaining.
Yeah.
Like, what the hell, man?
You're just bringing yourself to it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I would love to see him, because I honestly, even if it's one of those things, if I saw the movie and I, you know, and he was in it, I would still be satisfied if he was terrible. I just want to know.
You just want more of him? More of him stretching?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, maybe. Maybe he'll put himself in one of these movies.
I honestly doubt he'd be good. But
actually, whenever he's in one of his own movies, he's always Silent Bob.
Yeah, and he absolutely doesn't say anything.
Which I think those characters are coming back for one of these movies. Maybe Yoga Hosers.
Good, because I like it.
Or Moose Jaws, whatever the hell that thing's going to be. We'll see what happens. So Scorched Jaws, I would recommend it. Would you recommend it?
No.
Not really. I can't. I can't recommend it. Next one's gonna be called The Death Cure.
So ridiculous.
Oh, well, you know what I didn't want to say about Scorched Trials that annoyed me right away? So in the movie, the company, the main company that's going on there is called Wicked. It's like Mr. Robot. Why is this company so overtly evil? Like what company in what dystopian future? I don't care how dystopian the future is. I don't care how evil the corporation is. No one's gonna come up with an acronym WCKD. And they'd be like, Wicked, we're going to call our company Wicked? Okay, yeah, it's great. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no problem. Someone's going to be like, PR issues here, dude. Yeah.
Nope.
We're trying
dystopian futures.
I know we're trying to, rape and pillage the world and stuff, but we need to get their trust just a little bit.
Yeah, we need to make it
you know what, you're right.
seem
we should,
like we're not going
to
do
yes. We should change the name of our company to Rape and Pillage.
Yes. We are.
R&P.
Thank you. we are the R&P it's RP. Corporation.
Just RP, that's it.
We are the RP Corporation. Yep. We are here to rape and pillage.
I mean.
No. Even then, when they say what the acronym is, what is it? It was Wasteland. No.
Something containment.
It was Wasteland Containment Kill Zone Department. Yes. Like, what kind of company then uses the word kill zone in their fucking acronym? First off, it's called Wicked, and then within that Wicked acronym is the word kill zone. You are so obviously evil.
Yeah,
so it's, evil you don't even care.
It's like unobtainium. It's so
hacky and cheesy and on the nose. Yeah,
yeah.
It's like you couldn't think of anything else. Is this the first draft? First draft or second draft?
Yeah.
In the first draft, it was just big bad corporation, and then the second one, like, oh shit, we need to change big bad corporation. I don't know, Wicked. Okay, moving on. So what do they say on Rotten Tomatoes?
Rotten Tomatoes is saying. Totally unfresh, 49%, 5.4 out of 10.
49%, 5.4 out of 10. Ugh.
From what you guys were saying, I would have thought lower.
Yeah, I mean, it's not that the movie is bad or that it's terrible. It's just that it's kind of boring. It's definitely long. And as opposed to the first one, which felt a little more original, this one was a little more like all the other ones.
Yeah.
Yep.
Your Hunger Games is and your all that shit. So what did the consensus say?
Maze Runner: The Scourge Trials is an action-packed sequel at the cost of story, urgency and mystery that the original offered.
Yeah, that's part of it. The first one was like, what's the point of all this? What's going on? The second one, it's like, oh, here's what's going on. I'm like, oh, that sucks.
Yeah.
It's boring. Yeah. Then at the end of the third one, it's like, we got to go do this. And then it ends. And I'm like, I don't care. I don't care that they got to go do that. So I don't know. Are we going to see The Death Cure? I don't know.
No. We could always just do it like we do with The Hobbit and just not see the last movie.
Never saw The Last Hobbit. But we know what happens. You know what happens after The Hobbit?
I saw The Last Hobbit.
You know what happens at the end of The Hobbit?
Yes.
Lord of the Rings trilogy. That's what I was saying.
Yeah. This was last time I was here.
Mm-hmm.
On the show.
Uh-huh.
That actually came up because it was in theaters, the last one.
It was still in theaters.
Yeah. And I, you know, basically said, like, you know it's going to be successful anyway, but...
Oh, yeah.
One of the biggest reasons is because of people like me, where I'm just going to watch it. Like, I want to see the Shire. I want to see that world.
One more time.
Me too. So did I. And then I started watching these Hobbit movies and I can't do it anymore.
They got us for over 6 hours of Hobbit. No. They should be happy with that. But I'm sorry we didn't commit to the last three, but you know what? Fuck you guys.
I would watch
6 hours of our goddamn lives.
I would watch them like play poker for like 4 hours in their house.
Well, you did. You watched them sing in Dwarven for 45 minutes.
Yeah, that's true.
They sang a song about a mountain, Etchy.
Have you ever been to Etsy? Etsy.com?
Yes.
Okay. There is somebody that builds hobbit holes.
Of course.
course there is. You know, and I mean, they like build. I want one in my backyard.
Of course, why not? Hang out there, an adult.
You don't even have to be a fan of Lord of the Rings. It's just badass.
It's just an awesome adult treehouse.
Yeah,
that is
exactly.
That actually does sound pretty cool.
Yeah, and you know, people are gonna see it, and you know, and they'd be like, oh wow, you really get expensive stuff for your kids. I don't know.
Yeah, that's for me.
No children.
Like,
sorry.
Like no man, I keep my weed in there. new movies coming out on DVD this week. There's only really one movie coming out on DVD. That's Pitch Perfect 2. Apparently not as good as the first Pitch Perfect. A lot of people like that first one. You saw Pitch Perfect,
yeah,
didn't you? Yeah. So a lot of people went and saw the second one based on the first one and didn't like it as much. Mm. But it's not like people didn't dislike it.
Yeah.
It's just comedy sequels. The rule of comedy sequels.
That's usually how it works.
Yeah, law of diminishing returns.
That really means you succeeded, I think.
If you made one where people were like, yeah, it's not bad.
Yeah.
As opposed to like a Caddyshack 2. Like, what is this abomination?
Yeah, I never saw it.
No, you never saw Caddyshack 2?
No.
Oh, you're fortunate.
Well, that's what I figured, you know what I mean?
It's like, so
awesome. You know, they have like a Psycho 4?
Yeah, and yeah, I mean, they do. Yeah, they do. Yeah.
And of course, you know, I mean, Hitchcock only did one, and then
you did the first
they
one.
They just kept going.
It's like the Jaws movies.
And a lot of people don't even know that.
And Bob Bates was coming back for him, too. Huh? Perkins, Anthony Perkins?
Yeah.
He was back for, like, most of them.
Was
all
he?
Of them. Yeah.
He
definitely did 2 and 3.
He really did it, you know what I mean? Like, I always went, what the hell is he eating outside the hotel? Like, all the time.
He's eating peanuts. He's a peanut fan.
See, I always wanted to...
I'm not sure.
I always wanted to think it was pistachios.
What's going on in theaters, Drew?
Hotel Transylvania 2.
Hotel Transylvania 2. Okay, animated film. Sure.
The Intern.
Intern, new Nancy Myers. Yep, that's going to make money with the old people.
And the Green Inferno.
Green Inferno, that's going to make the money with the young sadistic weirdos.
Yes.
Bunch of gross fuckers. I don't know about that movie.
Green
Inferno.
We're going to have to see it eventually.
Are we?
People are going to be talking about it, Chris. We have to
And then we'll read what they talk about.
We got our way in.
You can see it.
Fine, I'll go see it.
You go see it and report back. I've seen plenty of movies on my own and reported back. You can see one and report back.
Okay.
Even the title just sounds...
The Green Inferno.
Yeah.
I don't know about it. All right, time for everyone's favorite segment. It's my favorite segment, Etchy. It's a listener's favorite segment. It's Drew's favorite segment.
It's no one's favorite segment.
It's a segment that we call Dr. Drew's 2 Cents. Here's the intro.
You must be Doc Holliday.
Well, that's the rumor.
Dr. Strangelove, do we have anything like that in the works?
They call me Dr. Manhattan.
And Bridget Fonda.
Do doctors know more about sex?
Doc Hollywood.
Here we go. The doctor's in. Dr. Drew, what you got for us?
All right. I mean, we talk about this all the time, but it really, really got to me yesterday.
Interesting.
Trailers that give away the entire story.
What's up with that?
So, I mean, for the first time in a long time, I actually have been reading, you know, like non-picture books. you know, one of them was The Martian.
Uh-huh.
You know, but... have been seeing the Martian trailers on and off for, you know, the last month or so.
Mm-hmm.
And they've been, you know, giving away little bits here, little bits there. You know, here's a little bit. Oh, I know what's going to happen in that scene. Oh, I know what's going to happen in that scene.
Uh-huh.
In the newest Martian trailer, they play the whole fucking movie from start to finish.
Pretty much.
Nice.
Yeah, especially when you read the book.
Oh,
you can tell. You can tell what's going on.
Yeah, I know. They do it even. They even tell the story in order.
Yeah.
It makes me really angry. So I just wanted to get that out there. Movie trailers that give away the entire story are fucking stupid. I wish I'd never seen the new Martian trailer. I hate you, Hollywood.
And the doctor is out. Thank you, Dr. Drew. We appreciate it very much. Let's take a break, guys. Crespo Disco time. I need almost all my beer here. So I got a couple songs from the Royal Tenenbaum soundtrack.
Yeah.
Love that movie. Love that soundtrack.
Oh, yes.
And it's... as opposed to the original stuff, the Mark Mothersbaugh stuff on there, I am playing a Velvet Underground song and a Ramones song. Or the Velvet Underground and
the Ramones. Or Ramones, the.
Kind of hard to say in sentences, though. Mm-hmm. I'm going to play a the Ramones song, right? Isn't that weird?
Yes. I mean, it's correct, but...
Yeah, or it's like, guys, you want to go see Eagles? It's no, the Eagles. Like, no, man.
You want to go see Doves?
Is it Doves or the Doves?
No, it's just Doves.
Yeah, see? Exactly.
God, I love seeing Doves.
like in John Woo movies. So Crestwood Disco Time, a couple of songs there from the Royal Tenenbaums. We'll be back with the second half of the show. Got a lot to talk about. You guys ready?
Yep.
Yeah.
All right, here we go.
Stephanie says that she wants to know why she's given half her life to people she hates now. Stephanie says,
Stephanie says,
when answering the phone,
answering the phone,
what country shall I say is calling from across the world? But she's not afraid to die. The people all call her Alaska. Between worlds, so the people ask her, 'cause it's all in her mind. It's all in her mind. Stephanie says,
Stephanie says
that she wants to know,
she wants to know
why it is, though she's the door, she can't leave alone. Stephanie says,
Stephanie says,
but doesn't hang up the phone. What seashell sea is calling from across the world? But she's not afraid to die. The people all call her Alaska. Between worlds, so the people ask her, 'cause it's all in her mind. It's all in her mind. They're asking, is it good or bad? It's such an icy feeling. It's so cold in Alaska. It's so cold in Alaska. It's so cold in Alaska.
To the Quest Logo.
We are back, episode 141. Halfway down, halfway to go. It's time for that Crespo Dome. I'm your host, Chris Crespo, hanging out with Jessica Ogburn, Drew.
What up,
dude? And Etchy.
Hey.
How you guys doing?
I'm doing great.
We're all refueled, ready to go. Ready to kick this second half's ass.
I never would have thought to put coconut in a beer.
Coconut. Yeah, it's delicious.
It's awesome.
The beer. It's a toasted coconut porter. Orange Blossom Brewing, Orange Blossom Pilsner. Unofficial, official beer of the show.
5.25. That's
I guess they're the official beer of the show. They sponsored.
They sponsored before.
They sponsored episode 20 and episode 100.
Interesting.
And we'll probably get them to sponsor episode 100. 2 year anniversary show. We'll get them back for a 2 year anniversary.
Yeah, I was gonna say like when you get like a.
Yeah, that's what we've been doing. Like episode 20, it's like episode 20. Let's have Tom in here, drink some beers, brought to you by OBP, and then 1 year anniversary show, 2 year anniversary show.
Nice.
We gotta celebrate by getting drunk and talking to Tom because Tom carried bags of gasoline right past Mel Gibson when they're gonna blow up the City Hall for Lethal Weapon 3.
That's awesome.
Yeah, he was there for that. He was on that crew.
Wow.
He's got a bunch of crazy stories like that.
I was gonna say I love story. Like, I don't really have all that many, but like. When you are on different sets and stuff, oh, you collect so many other people's stories that are just...
Yeah, he's got some good ones.
Yeah.
Even doing stage productions. Like, he had some crazy stories doing a production with Jerry Lewis.
Yeah.
Mr. Lewis.
I actually told... Have you ever heard of Oh No Radio Show?
Yes.
Okay. I subbed with somebody, one of their members, for like 2 months I was on that show.
Okay.
And... almost all like they all have like production type jobs.
Mm-hmm.
And so I actually told, and again, they all meld together. I forget where all the stories come from.
Yeah.
And so on Answer Pants, I actually, you know, I go, oh my God, that reminds me of the story I heard one time, you know, and I told the story and Owen, like the host, like called me and goes, dude, you just heard that story.
Like, you're telling my story.
A week ago on the show.
That's
like,
funny.
Oh, shit.
Like, that's how it got in my brain somehow.
Yeah. I was like, I genuinely did not remember that at all.
That's hysterical.
Yeah.
Yeah, hey, that happens. Information gets in your head. You don't know how it gets there.
Yeah. No, I mean, not like he was mad about it, but
it's... spit it back out.
I was going to say, he wasn't even angry about it, but it was just like, it's so weird because with stories like that, like, I could have heard it a week ago. I could have heard it a year ago. Like, I have no idea.
It was just there.
Yep.
All of a sudden, it was just there in your head. It's hysterical. Speaking of Answer Pants.
Yes.
Host. One of the hosts of Answer Pants.
Yes.
Answer Pants is no more.
Yeah.
That's a bummer.
It was episode 241, I think.
Really?
Yeah.
241?
Yeah.
Man, guys. It's a bit of a bummer.
Yeah.
That show's been around for a few years.
4 years, yep.
4 goddamn years.
Yes.
Is there a public reason why? Or did everyone just be like, you know what? It's run its course.
It was... Oh, God, it's so weird. I was actually... we stopped it right when Ivan got cancer.
Yeah, it's dealing with spot on his lung or something.
It was
like
a spot on his lung, and they had to remove it. Yeah. You know, and he was going to be out for a couple months. And,
shout out to Ivan. Ivan Lopez.
Yeah, definitely.
RampantRadio.com.
Still recovering.
He's still every now and then. If you follow him like on social media, every now and then he'll get drunk and he'll turn on the Rampant Radio and start streaming some live music.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. I love that every once in a while because I'm linked to it, so I'll get an email. It'll be like, it'd be like Rampant Radio is live, and I always have those, you know, like split seconds where I'm like, there's another podcast?
So what are we doing again? Yeah, but no, he's just drinking beers and listening to music. Yeah,
it's awesome.
It is awesome.
But yeah, so we kind of ended it, and the last I heard, like, you know, Ivan was saying, like, you know, once everything's over, like, you know, and I'm back or whatever, we're going to change the name, but to still be the same people, and apparently it'd be a little different.
Okay.
So vague, I have no idea.
Some
but,
plans for a new evolution of Rampant Radio and all that
right,
stuff.
Right, okay. And pretty much, you know, the same show but different.
Okay.
And, you know, same people. And that's really the big deal. Like, you have all the same people, you've got the same show.
Yeah, because you got good chemistry already. Yeah. You've already been working together.
Yeah, and that's the reason you listen to podcasts in the first place.
You like the people
doing the show.
Yeah, and I like the Answer Pants people for sure.
All right.
It's all good stuff, so... sad to see the show is gone,
but
I'm glad to hear that there are plans in the future. Would you like to talk about any of your upcoming plans?
Yes, I'm starting a network. I'm hoping that... Well, it's going to start out with the first show on the network. It's going to be my show called Tidbits.
Tidbits.
It's
a good thing. It's a good name.
Yeah, because like it's a whole bunch of little different segments.
A bunch of little audio tidbits.
Exactly. None of it's going to be live. I want to get into like the... You know what I mean? Going back and putting in music and editing and doing, you know what I mean?
The production
like,
work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And up to this point, I've never done anything else like that. We're doing a limited edition run.
Mm-hmm.
You know, unless we want to continue to do it and, you know, a lot of people listen.
Sure.
We'll probably continue. But we're doing a 6-episode run of the new Etchy and Bronco.
Oh, really?
Yes.
No shit.
The first episode talking about why the original podcast died in the first place.
Sure.
And
answer some questions.
What we've been doing since then, both of us.
When did the original Etchy and Bronco show stop?
5 years ago.
Damn, it was, 5 years ago.
Yeah, it was. We only got 42 episodes.
Mm-hmm.
But still to this day, like, I still run into people and they're like, oh my God, I loved Etchy and Bronco. And I'm like, really?
People are listening.
Yeah.
People out there listen.
Yeah. So
that's cool.
Yeah. So I'm excited about that. Plus, you know, I get to record Bronco again because it's funny. People here, you know, they're like, oh God, you haven't recorded in like 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
Where is he even? And it's like, I'd go to his house every Sunday and watch football.
He's still around.
He didn't go anywhere.
Etchy and Bronco is still a thing. It just happens unrecorded and in
exactly,
living rooms.
Exactly. Yeah. So those are the two we're starting out with. I have. Cool. I'm looking at two other shows that, you know, are interested in coming in.
To the fold?
Yes.
You have a whole network going on. Do you have a network name, possibly?
Yes, it is Radio. Yes.
Radio?
Yes.
PFFT?
Yes, it is PFFT, and it's got rolling eyes on it. And, I mostly did that because I want other, you know, like... other podcast that comes in, you know, I want him to be like, you have to say, oh yeah, we're thanks for listening, we're so and so on radio.
That's funny. It's a daring name.
Yes,
I like it.
Yes, thank you.
Well, where can are you gonna let? I guess people should go ahead and start following you on social media so that when these shows start popping, you can let them know.
Absolutely.
So where would you prefer people find you?
I actually, just my Twitter, Etchy, because I'm going to be producing the other shows. I'm going to try to stay back because, you know, the whole oversaturation thing, like, I don't want to be in every show. That would
sure.
be...
Sure, yeah.
No.
Right.
Give
them what they want, but not too much of it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But also, you know, having my own network, like, say I have, like, five shows, I'm not creating a Twitter account for all five shows. Like, I just don't sure. want to. I'm working.
You should let each person, people on the show, should handle that.
Yes,
shit. Yeah.
Yes.
You want one for your show? You do it.
Exactly. Yeah. It's your show. Because I mean, I could do it for tidbits, I guess. But
well, that's your show.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But I'm working on the website. It's probably going to be up later than the actual content comes out because that's the one technical thing that I just go, I know nothing. I'm going through Squarespace, you know, but I also, you know, if something's even a little off, I'm like, no, I'm not releasing this.
Yeah, it's gotta be perfect.
Which is gonna shoot me in the foot.
Yeah, that's a problem if you don't know coding.
Yeah.
Perfection is almost unattainable.
Yeah, and they say for, you know, stuff like Squarespace, like, you don't need no coding, and it's kind of true. You could,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it depends on how picky you are about the way your website looks.
Exactly.
Yeah, but, absolutely.
So, yeah.
So, follow Etchy on Twitter.
Yes. Or I'm Steve Etchy on Facebook.
Steve Etchy on Facebook.
Yes.
Awesome. There you go. Appreciate it, dude.
Mm-hmm.
Drusa Cogburn.
At Antihero419. All over the interwebs.
All over the interwebs. Also, you can remember, email Drusa Cogburn. Drusa Cogburn at Hot Pills for Sale. Email him your stories about getting hot pills. Do not ask him for hot pills for sale.
I have none.
Because he has none. That's just the email address he has.
I am prescribed hot pills.
Hot pills?
I'm guessing by hot pills. Wait, what does that mean?
It's a good question.
Stuff that pills that you would want to buy without prescription, right? Is that
right? Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, something right.
I take Adderall.
Sure. Hey.
Yeah.
Want to have a good time for 8 hours? Follow me on Twitter at I am Chris Crespo. Follow the show on Twitter at CrespoDiso. Email us cinemacrespodiso@gmail.com for stickers. We will send you stickers. We got a lot of new listeners lately from California and in the UK.
Do you know why that happened?
I do know why
that
happened.
Yes, we do.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because I kind of love it when that, you know what I mean? Like, all of a sudden you're like, we have a spike in Arizona?
We got a spike in several places. I know exactly why it happened. It happened because I was on Doug Loves Movies.
Okay. I saw that picture. Yeah.
Yeah, about a week and a half ago, I guess it was, last Wednesday. So that's a lot of DLM listeners, who, all you people are awesome. A lot of you have donated at kidneyforkevin.com, which is amazing. So you guys are great. We appreciate
that. They donated a kidney?
Kidneyforkevin.com. SBK set up a fundraiser, a crowdsourced fundraiser to help for his kidney disease recovery and all that stuff.
I'd heard about that, but like, they're donating money. Right?
Yeah. Okay. Because he's raising money.
Right. No. Yeah. I thought you were saying they're donating kidneys. So I was like, wow. Yeah.
Well, actually... dude,
well,
you know,
I mean, yeah, if you're a match, I know.
There are people out there who have been donating their time and everything, so that's possible as well. But at the very least, we could donate $1 for Kevin.com. That's great.
Kevin, next episode, you know, on air, say your blood type. You got a lot of dedicated fans.
I wonder if he has. He's been humping that one for a minute now.
So we appreciate that. So, yeah. All you UK guys, all you California people, thank you for checking us out. If you want stickers, we'll email them to you for free. Not email. We'll mail them to you for free in the mail. CinemaCrestReleaseo@gmail.com. Hit us up. We'll send you stickers. All right, Trisha Cogburn. You ready for some...
You knew it was coming, didn't you?
Oh, shit.
Did you just insert it yourself?
No, I did not insert it. It pops up randomly. I was guessing about Billy Dee's death at the movies. But instead, we're doing Trisha Cogburn versus the world. That's what that sound means. Oh, yeah, that's right. Those papers are over there, Drew. I'm sorry. I should have grabbed them for you. That's my bad. So far, Drew is 10-3 this year, Etchy.
Oh, wow.
He was on a nice run. He did run into a trivia brick wall known as Curtis Earth in the last episode.
Well, I think that's, you know,
He is master of trivia.
Exactly.
That he is the epitome, and Drew has beat him once or twice. I got to go back and check the official record.
I think once.
If just, I were Drew, once, really? If I were Drew, I would mentally just dismiss that one and be like, not fair.
not fair. Well, we'll see how it goes in the future against Mr. Earth, because... He has expressed interest in trying to come on this up. He wants to be like the Steve Martin of SNL or John Goodman, where they're on like the most amount of times. He wants to be one of those guys. So I was like, you know what? I can make that happen, Kurt. We can work on that.
I loved the episode of SNL where they're all in the jackets and Steve Martin's there. Like, you know, the club of, I forgot, it was like six or more club or something like that.
Or 10 or something, I think.
Or 10 or more. It was something or more club. Yeah. And they had like all these, you're just like, holy shit.
It's like Alec Baldwin, John Goodman.
There's like 12 people in there. They were like, oh my God.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like,
there's certain people I ask back almost every year.
Oh, one of the best sketches. I love it.
They haven't asked John Goodman back in a while, but that guy's.
I haven't seen him.
Yeah, there's a reason. Whew, boy. Guy needs to. Jenny Craig. So. Drew 7-3, but he lost last time, so you gotta go first, okay, Etchy, as representative of the world.
Okay.
This game, it's an old game, haven't done it in a while. It's called Scene Partners. I'm gonna give you three actors or actresses. You tell me the movie. So, for example, if I said Roy Scheider, Robert Shaw, Richard Dreyfuss, the answer would be?
Jaws, yeah.
Jaws, okay. So I have two groups, A and B, five each. Etchy, you gotta go first. Choose wisely. Do you want group A or group B?
B.
All right, group B. Here we go. I tell you the actors, you tell me the movie. Number one, Michael Keaton, Jack Nicholson, Kim Basinger.
Batman.
That's correct. Number two, Bruce Willis, Alan Rickman, Reginald Val Johnson.
That would be Die Hard.
That's correct. Number three, Jeff Bridges, John Goodman, Steve Buscemi.
Shit. The dude. Damn it. Wait, no. That's not... Yeah, The Big Lebowski.
Big Lebowski. Strike number four.
Love that movie.
Charlie Sheen, Forrest Whitaker, Willem Dafoe.
Shots part two.
No, Platoon.
Okay, I haven't seen that one.
Oh, that's a good one. Number five, Jim Carrey, Ed Harris, Laura Linney.
I'm doing bad. God, Jim Carrey really throws me through a loop. Laura Linney and
Ed Harris.
I don't know.
And Drew's making a face too, like he doesn't know.
Oh, good.
That would be The Truman Show.
Oh!
The Truman Show.
So totally forgot. Wait, Ed Harris, I don't remember Laura Linney.
She was the lady. So you got three... Three out of five. Drew needs four to win. You ready, Drew?
Mm-hmm.
Number one, Uma Thurman, Samuel Jackson, John Travolta.
Pulp Fiction.
That's correct.
Yeah.
Number two, Brad Pitt, Julia Roberts, James Gandolfini.
I don't know.
The Mexican.
No!
Number three, Johnny Depp, Al Pacino, Michael Madsen. Thinking hard.
I know the movie, but I can't remember the name.
Donnie Brasco.
That's the one!
Such a great movie.
I'm like, he walks outside of a movie theater, he gets shot. What's the name of the movie?
Number four. Clint Eastwood, Gene Hackman, Morgan Freeman.
I got nothing.
That's Unforgiven. And number five, Seth Rogen, Patrick Swayze, Jake Gyllenhaal.
What?
Seth Rogen, Patrick Swayze, Jake Gyllenhaal.
Nothing.
That's Donnie Darko. Etchy is the winner.
Son of a bitch.
I gotta say, yours were so much harder. Like I, like every time he would say it, I'm like, he might get this one. No.
That's why it's you gotta choose wisely, A and B.
Rough.
So is one purposely harder than the other?
No, but sometimes it just shakes out that way. Really, I try to make it even, but then we look at the next day, it's like, ah, that's not even. Congratulations, Etchy. Yay. Drew is now 10-4. Record's looking less and less impressive.
I don't know why. I feel like I cheated, but I didn't.
But you did it. That's the way it goes. All right. Like I was going to say right before we got really interrupted by my own show. Drew, you ready for that Billy D's Death of the Movies?
Yes, sir. All
right, here we go. Let's play that intro. Go. We have our weekly missive from New York City senior correspondent Billy D. Drew, take it away.
What is up, my dudes and guest?
What's up, Billy?
Here in NYC,
here in NYC,
the weather still has a bit of summer left in it, but fall is truly upon us. I know this because as I commute, I see the kids on their way to school.
The kids,
the savage packs of fourth and fifth graders roaming the streets, pumped full of energy drinks and ADD medication. They are everywhere, and they are totally unfucking supervised. In honor of back-to-school season, I thought I'd catch the new Elijah Wood-produced horror comedy, Cooties.
Cooties. Okay, Cooties.
This is third Spectrevision film I've seen, Open Windows, A Girl Walks Home at Night, and I'm looking forward to whatever they distribute slash produce in the future. Mm-hmm. Cooties is one of those movies where they give away way too much in the trailer, and that is unfortunate because this little non-zombie comedy has a ton of surprises that are spoiled by the ads.
Aww.
The kids at a school in Fort Chicken, Illinois, all become sick with a 28 days later-like illness, and the teachers band together to survive. The cast is filled with comedians and character actors Jack McBrayer, Rainn Wilson, Elijah Wood, Allison Pill, and Nassim Pedrad are all see their characters fully and are pretty hilarious when allowed to cut loose in the beginning.
Cut one loose.
Cooties is fun and gory. There are moments after the outbreak where the jokes fail, but the horror is done well enough to carry the movie. I caught this in a theater, not one with bedbugs or cooties, but I know it is playing on demand.
All right.
Rent Cooties if you can. Catch Cooties for sure on Netflix. Stay cool, Billy D.
Catch Cooties on a Netflix.
I like it. It's like the opposite of the faculty.
Yes. Because instead of the teachers being all infected, it's the kids.
It only works on that one level.
Yep.
Yeah, I guess so. Man, the faculty, I want that movie to be better. Because it's a Robert Rodriguez movie, and he's totally going for like 80s style horror with like nods to John Carpenter and shit.
Yeah.
But it's just
a bunch of teenagers putting weird drugs up their nose and pens.
It's a weird movie. Cooties, yeah, that's a one about a bunch of like really described about a bunch of little kids who get a rage like zombie sort of type virus thing, and everyone in the school has to protect themselves. And I've been hearing good things about it. Billy D just confirmed it. So everyone keep an eye out for the Cooties.
Yeah.
Cooties season. No, Cooties fever. Catch it.
So you want people to catch cooties, is what you're saying?
Let's get into the movie news here. I have some news about certain films. Much of the internet nerd world lamented this week when a report came out that Pacific Rim 2 is pretty much dead.
Oh, okay.
That's not going to happen. But Guillermo del Toro, someone asked him about that, and he said, quote, as far as I'm concerned, it's not gone. We're still moving on it. I may do another movie in the middle. That's what he's saying. So they're okay. Universal. They're not going to push forward Pacific Rim 2 right away, which made an okay amount of money. I think it crawled to just about $200 million here in America.
Mm-hmm.
They're expecting more from that, but I think it made another $200 million international, including made a good amount of money in China.
Yeah.
So that was reason enough for them to be like, okay, we can. It's maybe make another one of these.
Yeah.
But now it's like, now there's production delays, and it's not going to happen on the same time schedule they were originally hoping. But Guillermo del Toro is saying it's still going to happen. I want to see Pacific Rim 2.
I'll see it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the first one, like, I liked it because it was, like, entertaining the whole time. Sure. It wasn't, it sounds weird, but, like, it's, I guess I would describe it as, it's just something to watch. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. It's what they call it's what they call in the movie the end of the tour. It's what they call good seductive entertainment. It's just
it just
lures you in.
There's nothing special about it.
It entertains you.
Yeah,
it looks cool. It's got some fun ideas. It's not going to change the world. It's not going to change the way you look at things.
Yeah, exactly.
But it's fun though.
But it's fun.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
And I hate that because that's the type of movie that like movie snobs do that whole, like, that's what they target when they're, you know what I mean? Like, when they talk about action films, like, mm-hmm. Oh, it's just explosions, da da da. It's like dumbed down. It's so stupid. And you're like,
yeah, but there's versions of that though. There's Pacific Rim.
Oh yeah,
which is very watchable, very entertaining. It's still pretty smartly made. It's not dumb, as opposed to like Battleship, which is the same type of giant action
so
movie,
awful.
Aliens, lots of effects, but it's, that one is so stupid.
Yeah.
You know, it's like comparing Pacific Rim to a Transformers film. Well, of course Transformers is big and dumb and stupid, because it's a Michael Bay film.
Yeah. I actually like Transformers. For me, it's one of those, again, it's the same thing.
I like the first Transformers.
That was great.
Quite a bit.
Yeah.
There are parts of the third one that I like. The fourth one is just, and the second one is unwatchable. That second one is just not good. But they gave a giant, they gave the one balls. It had balls.
Yeah.
John Turturro delivered the immortal line, "I'm positioned directly beneath its balls." I'm sure that was the highlight of his career when he said that.
Probably.
Meanwhile, Fantastic Four just came out in theaters.
Uh-huh.
Bombed horribly.
Yes.
It's making no money whatsoever.
Good.
And it's critically not liked.
I hope they kind of learned their lesson from this. The last Fantastic Four was possibly the worst superhero movie I've ever seen.
The Fantastic Four Rise of the Silver Surfer.
What?
The one from a few years ago? Or the one that just came out a couple months ago?
No. The one a few years ago.
The Fantastic Four Rise of the Silver Surfer. The one where Captain America's a Human Torch?
No. The one where the Human Torch was Captain America. Yes.
Yeah.
That's what you're saying.
Yeah,
okay. Yes.
From a few years. Yeah,
so
yeah.
Dumb. So bad.
Yeah, not good. There's a lot of people
one's just as bad.
A lot of people out there think this one is worse than those.
I don't know about
that. The most recent one. I don't know about that either. I don't agree with that at all, as a matter of fact.
Yeah.
But
I haven't seen the new one, and I don't agree with it.
producer/writer Simon Kinberg has said that he's really focused on making Fantastic Four 2 happen. And with the same cast. Kate Mara, Miles Teller, Michael B. Jordan. The best part of Fantastic Four, the new one, is the cast.
Yeah.
And he says he wants to make a second one with the same cast.
I just think it's a bad comic book. Like, I
mentioned this on show before. I don't have any interest in any of the characters.
No, none whatsoever.
Yeah. Ooh, a guy stretches. Good. Stretch Armstrong movie. but Kinberg said about making a new one, "I was obviously disappointed," talking about the reception of the last one. "I was most disappointed that fans didn't like it. I care more about them than I do anyone else. But I haven't done a full deep dive on it. Do I think it was unfairly treated? I don't know."
Well, which is weird, because, like, don't you think it's unfair that you made an entire movie and didn't dig deep into it? Like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
this was just my first 3 hours. I, you know, like,
put more work into it.
Well, yeah, I mean, like, that's what movies are for. You make a movie, and even if there's supposed to be a sequel, because it's something that already, you know, is it in its own universe, will move on.
Uh-huh.
You make that movie in and of itself, like, an entity, like its own thing.
Mm-hmm.
So if you didn't dig, you know, deep into an entire movie,
yeah,
then that's not fair to the people that saw it.
That's true.
You know, like,
well, maybe, well, the second one he'll do more. We'll see.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'll be surprised if they, the thing is, Fox needs to keep making these movies if they want to keep the rights to them.
Well,
or else they revert back to Marvel.
I would rather have them revert back to Marvel at this point in time.
At this point,
Fox,
might as well.
Fox has proved that they cannot do it.
But Fox wants to keep doing it. Hell, they want to do an X-Men Fantastic Four crossover movie.
Oh, God.
They want that to happen. Because it's all about crossing everything over now.
Yeah.
It's all about crossing them streams. So they're making the Blade Runner 2.
Okay.
All right. director Denis Villeneuve, he of Sicario, which is about to come out, and Prisoners and Enemy. Very weird, very tough movies. This is the guy who's taking on Blade Runner 2. Someone asked him why he would do a Blade Runner 2. Here's his response. When I heard that Ridley Scott wanted to do another movie in the Blade Runner universe, at first my reaction was it's a fantastic idea, but it may be a very bad idea.
I think it's very common, though.
To have that reaction?
That is either really going to be really good or really bad. Yes. Like
it's that type of thing. He continues, I'm among the hardcore fans of Blade Runner. Blade Runner is one of my favorite movies of all time. It's a movie that is linked with my love and passion for cinema. I'm totally aware of the huge challenge. It's a risk I know that every single fan who walks into the theater will walk in with a baseball bat. I'm aware of that and I respect that, and it's okay with me because it's art. Art is a risk and I have to take risks. It's going to be the biggest risk of my life, but I'm okay with that. So he knows.
I like that quote.
And I like that approach.
Yeah.
He knows it's a dubious endeavor.
Yeah.
To take a sequel to a much beloved film 35, 40 years later and try to make another version of that, revisit that well. Harrison Ford is going to be in it. The Deckard character is in it, but it's more like the plot's going to be they're looking for Deckard. Mm-hmm. So he's not going to come up until like the very end of the movie. He's like Marlon Brando in Apocalypse Now, that type of thing.
Yeah, speaking of which, what was he eating?
Marlon Brando?
Yes.
Everything?
No, that scene where he does that monologue.
Oh, when he's like eating some sort of fruit or something.
Yes.
Making a big show of it.
What is he eating?
Some sort of tropical fruit, probably. Peyote? Who knows?
Pistachios.
They were eating crazy shit back in the day. He's always eating too. And Dr. Moreau, half the scenes he's in, he's eating.
Yeah.
And he's like, ooh.
There's something compelling about
my people, my children. Ooh.
There's something compelling, though, about food in a paper bag that you, like, throw into your mouth, like, small little things.
It's like, what is that? Is that peanuts?
Yeah, a little candy.
Are they shelled already? Did someone shell them for him? I'm looking forward to Blade Runner 2. I mean.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting.
Yeah.
Now, I hate the whole outlook of, you know, when people do the whole, like, oh, they're going to ruin it, or, you know what I mean? Especially, like, you know, like, if it's, like, a childhood thing, like, say it's, like, Transformers.
Yeah.
Or something, you know, my childhood is ruined.
Yeah.
No, it's not.
Your childhood's fine. It's still there.
What somebody wants to do with it, they're not changing anything. You know what I mean? Like, if somebody makes a movie that's completely out of character of what you love, they didn't actually kidnap those characters and make them do those things.
And they didn't erase the older movie so that it doesn't exist anymore.
It didn't change anything.
Although, I will say, I do kind of understand that in this one example.
Mm-hmm.
Drew may know what I'm talking about. Last year, went and saw Dumb and Dumber 2.
Yeah.
Dumb and Dumber 2 is so bad.
Was it?
It made me question whether Dumb and Dumber is actually that funny.
It is.
Oh.
It is so bad that I was like, should I rewatch that first one? Is it? Because I love that movie.
If you do, it'll reaffirm your faith in it.
Yeah.
Because it's
so much better.
Is that amazing? It's good.
I hope so.
Well, I can't say that much better. I didn't see the second one.
Oh, my God. It's awful. So bad.
Was it as bad as the...
It's incredibly bad.
Was it as bad as the one where they're younger?
I think
like Dumb and Dumber.
I think it's worse because it's the Farrelly brothers and Carrie and Daniels. Oh, okay. That's all the original people are back. The Dumb and Dumber, that prequel thing, no one was involved from the original. No one was involved in that. I think that... So that makes this one worse.
Yeah.
Because it's like, you guys made the original and... Whoa. Woo.
Yeah. I feel like sometimes the studio, you know, if you did something really amazing in the past, then the studio goes, you're going to do this.
We're hoping you're going to do it again.
Yeah. And it's just like, I don't want to do it again. You're going to do it again.
Yeah. rumor du jour this week. Let's bring up a rumor and then shoot it down right away.
All right.
The rumor du jour is, not necessarily a rumor, but Warner Brothers is again trying to develop a live action version of Akira.
Sure they are.
They've been trying to make
I've heard that.
Been trying to make it for years and years and years.
This time with Chris Nolan, right?
That's the rumor that Christopher Nolan would be a producer of the Akira live action trilogy. Here comes the debunking. You ready?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Christopher Nolan has nothing to do with the Akira live action trilogy. I don't know where that name came from. No one knows where that name came from. People just put two together. Nolan's movies come out through Warner Brothers. So they figure since Warner Brothers is doing it, maybe they got... No.
Yes.
That's not happening. But they are working on it,
though. Yeah.
Most recently, remember the movie Nonstop?
Vaguely.
With Liam Neeson. It was taken on the airplane.
Yes.
And then also the movie Orphan.
Yes.
Remember Orphan?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
The guy who directed those movies was tapped to do Akira live action.
Ugh.
Yeah. That did not seem like a good fit.
No.
And but then that most recent project fell apart because, like with any adaptation of Akira, the budget started getting really big.
Well, yeah.
And at the same time, Warner Brothers was like, we need to save money on projects. So that one got the axe. Boom. Yeah. It's done. So now they're trying again. This time they're doing a trilogy. And also behind it, just like the last one, also behind this one, Leonardo DiCaprio's Appian Way production company, mm-hmm. they're co-producing it as well. So you got some big names back there. People yeah. really want to make this shit happen.
That's yeah. a big money. Well, not only that, I mean, it would be a huge deal, too, because, I mean, it's an anime.
Yes.
And because of that, mm-hmm. there are so many people that have never heard of Akira.
Yeah.
And also, those people not being used to anime would be blown away by just the type of story it is and the weird things that happen.
The storytelling process is different.
Their mind would be fried.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, it would just blow everybody away. That would make so much money. It'd be ridiculous. And then, of course, we'd have an Akira too.
Would hope so. Well, they do. They want to cause the comedy. Or so you have the movie.
Yeah.
That is itself, I think, just an adaptation of, I don't know if it's the whole manga squished down to 2 hours or if it's maybe a couple of books. Mm-hmm. But the manga itself is like 6 books long. It's like 6 volumes. Each volume is like 300 pages. Hmm. So if you want to do a trilogy, you can do like 2 books per movie.
Yeah.
And tell the whole manga story. Or you go the route of the animated film and you tell that story, which, yeah. I mean, it doesn't make that
sometimes,
much sense.
I mean, if there's that much story in so that 300 story. Pages,
yeah.
which there, yeah. Now you're looking at like the world's most expensive TV show. Like, you know what I mean? Like, because it could yeah. be, at some point, you know, you read it and go, God, this is episodic as shit.
Yeah.
Like,
there's so much going on. Yeah. So many characters. Absolutely. So we'll see what happens with that. And speaking of TV show, you guys remember the movie Layer Cake?
Vaguely.
With Daniel Craig?
Yes.
Daniel Craig is like a gangster type dude. Also, they never say his name. It was directed by Matthew Vaughn. It was originally developed for Guy Ritchie to be his follow-up to Snatch. He fell off the project. Matthew Vaughn, who produced all his movies, stayed behind and directed. That's how he got his directing career started, right? Most recently, did Kingsman: Secret Service. But he did Layer Cake, very good movie. Layer Cake was based on a book, and then there's also another book that's a sequel to Layer Cake called Viva La Madness.
So we have a sequel to Layer Cake.
Viva La Madness is being produced as a TV series.
Okay.
Daniel Craig, his character is not in Viva La Madness. It's a different character. That character reportedly to be played on TV by Jason Statham.
Interesting.
I love Jason Statham.
Jason Statham's great. And it's his first TV role. So we'll get to see him playing a crazy gangster type. No.
Nice.
Looking forward to it, actually, quite a bit.
He hasn't done that British gangster thing in a while.
I think it's been a minute.
But he went all action star.
Yeah.
That's why.
Yeah, he did go super action star, didn't he?
I love Crank.
So right now, we have a guy writing the screenplays for Viva La Madness. They don't have a director or showrunner or anything like that. But it looks like it's happening. A sequel to a movie done on TV with Jason Statham. That's the world we live in now, guys.
Yeah.
That's 2015 for you.
While also they're making a TV show, The Transporter.
Yeah, well, no, they already did.
They did. That's
there's already a season of that.
And it failed.
I don't think they renewed it.
No.
And I did not pull this story, but since you mentioned The Transporter, the same people, they are now working on a TV version of Taken. But
that's a long time to be taken.
Here's the thing. All the Taken aspects of Taken have been taken out of the Taken TV show. So, it's a show about the character Brian Mills, about how he acquires his particular set of skills.
Also, it's like a prequel kind
of. It's a prequel. 100% a prequel.
Yeah.
It's before he gets married. It's before anyone gets taken. No one gets taken.
Yeah.
It's just a Brian Mills show.
Yeah.
But they're calling it Taken. And you know,
it's gonna start out with him like looking at his trainer, and his trainer is gonna say, "I'm going to give you a special set of skills."
Yeah, it's like I need.
We are going to impart a certain set of skills upon you.
And at one point, he's like, "What do I need this particular set of skills for?" He's like,
"Someday, someone will be taken.
Someday, you will need them.
One day, someday, somebody will be taken, yes. And you will want to get them back.
Maybe your wife, maybe your daughter, maybe both of them, and maybe you."
Maybe you'll be framed for their death. Who knows?
And maybe your ghost dog will chase you in a suit. But until then, Here's a Rubik's Cube. Hopefully that's one of the things he has to do. A Rubik's Cube underwater blindfolded.
Yes.
Yeah. Just as long as when he moves them, it goes.
Yeah. Then hypercam, moving around really fast, cut really fast. It's like, oh, I feel ill just from watching this guy fix a Rubik's Cube. All right, so here we go. Let's get into the Vox Populi. The Vox Populi segment is for the listeners of the show. You can email us your reviews, questions, topics, Facebook us, tweet us, and we'll read them on the show. So here we go.
That moment you've all been waiting for. The world famous
Vox Populi.
And also, you can review our show on iTunes, and we will read your review. Whatever you write in the review, we will read it, unless it's some sort of crazy racist hate speech, in which case we take the editorial preference to not regurgitate such vile, but otherwise we will read your shit. Juicy Cogburn.
Speaking of, they have a review from Apostrophe Jones.
Apostrophe Jones reviewed us on iTunes.
August 19th of the year 2015.
And I just happened to notice it this week.
Yep.
So let's go ahead and see what Apostrophe Jones said.
Crisp O Town. 5 stars.
Oh, all right, thank you. All right, 5 stars.
That's entertaining good. Show. Now that I live in LA, it's good to listen to Orlando podcasts and their talk of my old movie hangouts like the Enzion, which I'm still getting emails from, and the Winter Park Regal. Oh yeah, the good old days.
The good old days.
But the movie selection out here is a hell of a lot better, and they have Q&As with stars and directors. Anyways, I digress. Cinema Crespediso is one of my favorite Orlando podcasts, and the SBK episode was great this past Sunday! !
Oh, okay, so that was from the week after we had SBK on, which I think was episode 136, something like that, in August.
Okay.
Last time we had him on. First off, you're still getting those Enzion emails. At the bottom, there's unsubscribe.
Unsubscribe.
Unsubscribe. You're gone. Unless you want to keep being reminded of, you know, the sweet Enzion theory, which
yep.
is... Oh, but then he had to like be like, screenings are better out here. We get better movies.
It's and LA. What do you
it's
expect?
It's LA, man. Live in Hollywood.
Yeah.
If you don't live in Hollywood, Hollywood's right down the road. Of yep. course, it better be better. If it's not better, there's something fucked up going on.
Seriously.
Am I right? Am I right?
You're right.
Yeah.
Also, he qualified it, so we're one of the best Orlando podcasts.
Correct.
Six out there. You appreciate it. So many podcasts out there. You had to qualify it.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's one of the better podcasts. It's one of the better Orlando podcasts, I guess.
Yeah.
One of the better Orlando podcasts about movies.
The only Orlando podcast about movies.
Are we the only Orlando podcast about movies? You know what?
Yes.
I think we are.
At this point in time, I'm going to say yes. Even if we aren't, we are.
Yeah. So, whew. Erase that competition. Fuck you guys. No one will even dare start one now in the face of the Crespediso and our 3 dozen listeners. Four dozen now. Thanks to Douglas Movies.
Good job, Chris.
Thanks a lot, Apostrophe Jones. We appreciate it. If you want to review the show on iTunes, please do, and we will read it. Because that's what we do. What else we got with the Vox Populi?
Oh, on the Twitter, at Eric and Stacy got at us.
Eric and Stacy, they're a good show. They're a cool show. You can check them out. They're based out of, like, over there, Illinois, Wisconsin, or something like that. They got that whole area on lockdown over there.
All right.
Minnesota?
The Minnesota area.
What films have surprised you the most so far this year, and what you thought would suck but was great, and vice versa?
Oh, okay. So which ones subverted our expectations? Which ones did we think were going to be good but sucked? Which ones did we think would suck would be good? That's a tricky one, because I kind of have a general idea of the movie going into it. Very rarely am I like that off whether it's going to be good or bad.
Yeah.
I try to keep the expectations open. Can you think of anything etchy that you've seen at all recently where you're like, oh, I thought that was going to be really good, and then it disappointed?
Recently, no.
Fantastic Four was a little disappointing, but I heard rumblings that it wasn't that good. So my expectations were low.
I think my worst was Home for the Holidays.
Really?
That wasn't recently, though.
But you expected it to be good? And it disappointed you?
Well, I had a huge thing for Claire Danes.
Oh, sure. Yeah, sure. Yeah,
it was so bad, I couldn't believe it was a movie. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah. Like, these people got together and they made this thing. They put effort into this.
Yeah. Like, the projectionist was like, this is a home movie of mine, but I think they'll like it.
I got Claire Danes to show up and record something at my house.
No, I haven't had that in a long time.
Yeah, and then this year, you know, was Jupiter Ascending this year?
It got pushed back. Yeah,
it got pushed back to this year, right? And that one, I was hoping.
We knew what was going.
There was trouble, though. We knew. Yeah. So yeah, my expectations were set properly. If it had come out last summer,
we'd have been like, "Whoa!"
I would have been like, "Whoa! What happened? This thing stuck."
Yeah,
but I knew it wasn't me.
We knew there must have been issues with it.
I mean, I knew Ant-Man was going to be good. I didn't think it was going to be as good as I ended up thinking.
Yeah,
I was
surprised by how much I enjoyed it. But again, I was expecting to enjoy it.
Yeah.
It's a good question, but I think just the way we watch movies, the way we prep for them ahead of time, we kind of know.
Actually, I think Kingsman surprised me.
By how much you liked it?
I knew what type of movie it was going to be,
uh-huh.
But it ended up being so much more.
Yeah, it was.
Love that feeling.
It's a good one. Have you seen that one yet? Kingsman, the Secret Service?
No. Highly recommend it.
That's a good one. All right, here's one that I had kind of, you know, mediocre expectations. I was surprised by how much I like it. Along those lines, that Melissa McCarthy, Jason Statham movie, Spy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I did enjoy that one quite a bit.
Did you?
Yeah, to the
good,
point.
I really wanted to, you know, it's one of those trailers, you know, you see it and you're like, that looks so hilarious, but I bet you anything it's not good.
Or that they gave you all the good jokes in the trailers.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, but actually, no. When I walked out of that movie, I was surprised by how much I genuinely enjoyed it and liked it. That's a good one. So, there you go.
And The Homesman. You love The Homesman, Chris.
Homesman's good, bro. You should watch it.
So what is it?
The Homesman. Tommy Lee Jones, Hilary Swank Western.
Oh.
It's good. I don't know why this guy is so like it's ridiculous. It's a damn good movie. It's a solid Western. Shit goes down in that movie, dude.
On Facebook.
If you watch that movie when it's over, you're like, damn, shit went down in that.
Ricardo Perez gets at us.
What's up, Ricardo Perez on Facebook?
If there is a movie to remake, it would be Monster Squad.
Monster Squad.
A lot of questionable language in it, though.
Yeah.
LOL.
That's because that's a Shane Black movie.
Yes.
Shane Black wrote that. To remake it, though, I don't know. See, the thing, it is a Shane Black movie, so it's very much his style.
Mm-hmm.
I guess you could remake it because it is sort of a cheesy 80s movie, but it also has its cult following.
It does.
You know, people really like it. That's the type of thing where you remake it. Like, as you said, some people are going to be like, you're ruining my childhood. My childhood. You're raping it on the pinball machine. Like, what's that movie? The Accused. The Accused. Right, Monster House. Remake it. One day. It'll happen.
Maybe.
We'll see. Probably not.
Perhaps.
Drew.
Ron Phillips II gets at us.
What's up, Ron? Out there in Colorado.
I talked about last week, we talked about anime with Hitman 47 and the FPS movie Hardcore coming out. What video game movie would you make and who would act in it?
What video game movie would I make?
And who
would act in it?
I don't like that there's a new Hitman. Like the different guy.
Apparently it's awful.
It's not even good.
Yeah.
It's not even good. What video game movie would I make? I would love to see, they were in development for a while. Gore Verbinski was going to direct it. What is it? Not Biodome.
Bioshock.
Bioshock.
Biodome would be a very interesting video game.
I would like to see the Biodome video game where you're two stoners and you have to live inside a Biodome experiment for a year. And it's like The Sims.
Sticky Purple Punch.
You're growing your Sticky Purple Punch. Is that what they call Sticky Purple Punch?
Yeah. Yep.
When I was a kid, I didn't know what they were talking about.
I did.
I was like, Sticky Purple Punch? You get purple punch from a plant?
Yes.
Grape Kool-Aid?
Yes.
Let me get some of that grape Kool-Aid, yo.
Yeah.
Let me get some of that Kool-Aid-infused tomatoes.
Perp.
Like the guy who committed the crime?
Yes.
The perp? The perp perp?
No, P-U-R-P. As in purple.
P-U-R-P-P-E-R-P?
Yes.
The perp perp. Or, okay, I don't know where I'm going with that one.
Anyway, so Chris, video game movie. What would you make? Who'd be in it?
I would make a Bioshock, and my lead would be the dude. Could be literally any guy. So I'll go with...
It could be anybody.
It could be anybody. So I'll go with Richard Jenkins. Going with an older lead actor.
Okay.
But we're going to have him play young. Because movie magic! What video game would you make into a movie, guys? Pick one.
Splinter Cell.
Splinter Cell. They're working on that one.
Tom Hardy.
Are they?
Yeah, yeah. Tom Hardy.
With Tom Hardy.
Tom Hardy's going to be your main guy, Sam Fisher.
I think for Sam Fisher, I'll do Matt LeBlanc.
Matt LeBlanc? Yeah. Really? That's funny.
I think he can pull off serious, and he's never really...
Never had a shot to?
Yeah.
I would have made Splinter Cell 10 years ago, and my lead would have been Michael Ironside.
I think
who did the voice for the game.
I think it actually would have done way better 10 years ago.
I think so, too. It was more popular.
Uh-huh.
Now it feels like you guys are reaching into the well. But Tom Hardy really wants to do it.
Yeah.
He wants to jump out of helicopters.
Yes, he does.
Got anything, Drew?
Can we make a good Doom movie where a space marine goes to hell?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, sure. Why not? I don't know why Doom couldn't be a good movie. what approach they took to that fucking
if you're hacking up demons with chainsaws, as far as I'm concerned, it'd be great.
It should have been so easy to make that movie. Uh-huh. And it turned out
basically like a modern Alien. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
And you know what?
It would be awesome.
You know what?
Alien with hell.
I'll give The Rock another chance.
Yeah, why not?
I would. Yeah.
It's not his fault. That was early in his career.
Yep.
He was just off the Mummy movies on that. He was just looking for, just grasping at straws, trying to be in something. Shortly after that, he did Tooth Fairy. Shortly after those movies, he got new representation. And they started being in better movies.
Yes.
Started being in Fast and Furious and shit. Yeah, he turned into Franchise Viagra, that guy. Journey to the Center 2 made more money than the first one. G.I. Joe 2 made more money than the first one. Fast and Furious 5, 6, 7, all making more money than the previous Fast and Furious movies. What all those movies have in common?
The Rock.
Dwayne Johnson himself.
He's a badass.
He is the best.
And so likable, like as a person, not so like a character.
Super nice guy.
So stupidly likable. It's so annoying.
It is.
Everyone likes this guy. Goddamn charm machine is what he is.
He's got it. He's got that Will Smith it thing.
He's got that Will Smith it thing. He's actually a pretty decent actor, especially for being a professional wrestler. Like, I mean, I love me some Hulk Hogan, even though he's a racist, and Rowdy Piper, rest in peace. But he's way better as an actor than those guys was, you know? Okay. What video game movie we make? Okay.
Yeah. Also, Ron got at us about our in response to our TV bonus episode.
We did a bonus episode a few days ago with Talking TV. We're going to try to do some more TV stuff with the show. Because TV shows are now just long movies anyway.
Yeah, pretty much.
So he asks, do you guys watch smart animated shows like Gravity Falls or Steven Universe? I would also like to know what you're looking forward to on each channel. God, I love TV.
You love TV?
Yes.
On each channel?
I know.
There's like 2,000 channels.
Yep.
Okay, starting with Channel 13 News.
Say yes to the dress.
Say yes to the dress. You son of a bitch. I don't even know what's coming out on each channel, to be honest.
I have no idea.
First part question.
Yes, do you watch smart animated shows like Gravity Falls or Steven Universe?
I don't know what Gravity Falls is. I've heard of Steven Universe. Have you heard of these, actually?
Yeah, I've heard them, but I don't know.
You haven't seen them, have you? Drew?
I've heard of both, haven't watched either.
So smart animated shows.
I'm more of a Rick and Morty type of guy.
Hell yeah.
Very smart.
Yeah.
But also ridiculously absurd.
Well, see, that's just it. Is like when you say like really smart, you know, what does that even mean? Because I thought that about Rick and Morty too. I'm like, it's a smart show.
It is.
Yeah.
It's totally for adults. If kids, like, you should not let your children watch that show.
I guess that's supposed to like, I wouldn't call Family Guy smart. I like Family Guy too. I would never call it smart.
But at the same time, some clever shit.
They can be poignant. How about that?
They can be.
Well, see, that's just so funny. Yeah.
I mean, everything's better with a bag of weed, Chris.
Everything's better with a bag of weed. Get the song.
Yeah. I mean, I would still put that in the group. Whatever's not for kids to me is.
I guess so, right? The intellectual level.
Exactly.
I mean, Aqua Teen's not for kids.
No, but it's also doesn't hit you on any intellectual level either.
No, that's true. It doesn't.
When not called smart.
No.
But the Brood Witch episode, though.
Oh,
the Brood Witch. I guess I don't really. Haven't been watching much animated stuff lately. I mean, I always watch The Simpsons and the newer stuff. I need to get on that Rick and Morty. I'm late to the party on that.
Oh, yeah, you do.
That's great.
Anything else, guys, that you can think of?
Did you see the Simpsons opening with Rick and Morty?
Yes.
I did see that. Yeah,
so good.
They made a big deal of that. Mm-hmm. I like how The Simpsons has other animators and other artists do their intro sometimes.
Yeah.
The Banksy one was the best one.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
All those poor little Chinese children.
Yeah. The Fox, the factory. Good time. Slagging on materialism and Big Brother and corporate greed. Any other animated things you guys can think of? I guess Rick and Morty is it right now. That's like the hot show for the minute for what it is.
Yeah, and so, yeah. Just so good.
What was the other one said? Gravity Falls.
Gravity Falls.
Is that like it's like an anime?
Don't know.
It sounds fun. It sounds interesting.
I mean, it's no Moonbeam City. Still gotta watch that shit.
Yeah, I want to see that Moonbeam City. Yo. Have you seen the commercials for that? The trailer for that?
No.
Overly 80s. It's cartoon on Comedy Central.
Huh.
It's like all blue and pink. It's
all pastels.
It's all this blue and pink.
Yeah.
It's all like that. You know?
Yeah.
Miami Vice style. Rob Lowe is one of the voices. Elizabeth Banks. Will Forte.
Love Will Forte.
Will Forte's good. They have names like Dazzle.
Yeah, see? Moonbeam City.
Nice. Especially that jacket.
Like, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, totally 80s.
Yeah. 100%. 100 is what I'm talking about there. Yeah, so there we go. Anime shows. Thanks, Ron. We appreciate it. Hope you enjoy our TV talk, because we're going to be doing some more of it. Is that it for the Vox Populi, Drew?
Yes, sir.
We're all over there. All right. Well, hey, that brings us to the end of the show. And at the end of the show, just like every show, we have a guest. And we have guests, as you can see here, actually, you're at the top of our scheduled guest list.
Yeah.
We have guests scheduled all the way through November 8th. I'm trying my best to have a guest pretty much every weekend from now through the end of the year.
Nice.
So we have them going for the next 2 months. So for the next 2 months, we're doing lightning rounds at the end of each episode, which means I got to play the lightning round intro.
We give you the questions. You give us the answers. Time for the lightning round.
Oh, those can keep going. That was a little longer. All right, actually, I have 10 questions here. You give me your answers as quickly as they come to you. You ready?
Okay, yes.
Drewster Cogburn, please start that lightning round clock.
Go.
Number one, how do you want to be remembered?
As funny.
Number two, how deep is your love?
It's so deep.
Number three, do you feel like we do?
All the time.
Number four, what's going on?
Never and very much.
Number five, do you know the way to San Jose?
I don't.
Number six, am I going crazy?
Yes.
Number seven, who wrote the Book of Love?
The Electric Boogaloo.
Number eight. The Electric Boogaloo. Number eight.
There was a band and that wasn't even close to it, so I just threw out. Yeah.
Who wants to live forever?
Nobody.
Number nine, who let the dogs out?
Me.
And number 10, what's new, Pussycat?
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. What's new, Pussycat? Thank you very much, Etchy.
Thank you.
That brings us to the swag baggery, Drew.
Yes.
Please show him the couple of swag bags that he gets to choose from. As you see there, we got the...
Oh, I will do the holographic...
The green holographic green?
Yes.
Give him the holographic green bag. Drew Sikogren, please break out the prizes. Let's tell Etchy what he may want to go home with today.
Sir, you may be the proud owner of the Airfoam 8 Rockets Mini Rockets.
Totally going to be it.
Very nice. You can shoot that at your wife.
We've got a Hop into Easter Bunny Slingshot.
Bunny Slingshot. Ooh. Hell yeah, yeah. More things that you can fling at
You've
people.
You've got a Battle Force Paratrooper. He's ready to fly.
You can throw
24 inch shoot.
Okay, now you have a bunch of things you can just throw off buildings and shoot at people. This is the projectile bag.
You got a value pack of 20 balloons.
You get attached the balloons to the projectiles.
Treasure Hunt $1.95 copy of Superman Returns.
Superman Returns, starring Brandon Routh and Kevin Spacey.
We've got you a Marvel 500 collect all 20.
Oh, that's a mystery Marvel figure. Do not open it yet.
Oh, there's a tiny little toy in
there?
There's
a tiny little toy in there, and you won't know what it is until you open it. It's a mystery. It's a mystery. So do not open it.
You also got an Orlando City soccer magnet and some Cinema Crest Podiso stickers.
Look at that soccer magnet, stickers.
I'll put that on my car immediately.
All of these can be yours, Etchy, or you can take, sir, what's in the box?
What's in the box?
Drew Chicagoan right there has the big old box. You can take what's in the box, or you can take home all the sweet stuff in the bag, including that mystery Marvel toy.
This is too exciting. I did this last time. I'm going to take the box.
He's taking the box. Here we go. Get these swag bags out of here. You will not know what is in that Marvel toy. You will never know. You'll
never know.
Okay,
that's wrapped really well.
Thank you very much. That's Drewster Cogburn's work right there. Awesome. Go ahead and pull the top. Go ahead and look inside. What we got in there?
Yes! I got a moose!
Got a moose! He's got a moose!
Yes!
You got a tiny moose. Congratulations, Etchy. That moose is all yours.
That is awesome.
You got a tiny moose.
You got a tiny moose.
I'm going to put this on my desk.
That's good. You get to give us always. We'll give you some stickers to take with you as well.
Yes, definitely. Oh, this is totally worth it.
Enjoy, sir. Enjoy your new moose. Thank you so much for coming on the show. We appreciate it.
Absolutely. I already have one of your stickers on my desk, actually.
There you go. We'll get you some more, and you can slap them on other things. It doesn't have to be in your home. It could be out there in the wild. It could be on street signs, on buildings, electrical boxes, on neighbors' cars that you don't like.
Just so you know, the Publix in Baldwin Park does not clean. their poles, their light poles.
No, why was that true? Can you talk to the mic? What was that?
I said the
Publix.
The Publix in Belgian Park doesn't clean their light poles. Oh. So
stickers.
A
on
lot
all
of our stickers are still there, Chris.
Light poles. Light poles are nice. Good for stickers. So thank you, Etch. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you, Justin Cogburn.
You're very welcome,
thank
sir.
You for listening, downloading the show. Remember to support R-rated movies, break up the big banks, and be excellent to each other, and drink more wine.
Chris, don't forget, we have something for sale.
Don't forget, we have something for sale. Check out our new t-shirt design. You can see our t-shirt design at our Instagram account, our Facebook page. Hit us up online. $20 a shirt. We're going to be advertising for a few weeks for the pre-order. So there you go. Thank you, Drew. I appreciate that.
You're very welcome.
All right, guys. We'll be back soonish. Let's give Drew a second. Let's give Drew a second. Check 1, 2. Giving Drew a second. Excuse me. You might hear a little crackling sound. Mm-hmm. That's coming from this. So
it doesn't show up in the recording.
Yeah, we're hearing it, but it's not being recorded.
I've got a bad ground loop right now.
What's that? What's that doing for you?
It's when the mixer is too close. Obviously, this wouldn't be happening for you. That's a great setup. I want an L-shaped desk for that purpose.
So you can keep things separated?
Yeah. If you have the mixer too close to the computer,
mm-hmm. it'll pick up
the frequency of the because of the power supply on the computer mm-hmm. and the power supply on the mixer causes like this, you know. And,
some of the weird feedback thing.
Yeah, and it used to not be that bad. Like, you could hear it, but it wouldn't go on the recording.
Mm-hmm. But it's so annoying when you're recording.
Like, it is.
As you're recording, it's annoying. But
it was light enough, though. It's annoying at first, but then once the podcast starts and you start talking, you don't, you know? It's mm-hmm. something you can look past and totally forget it's there.
Yeah.
Not anymore, but...
That's true. It depends on how...
Yeah, well, then I rearranged my thing, and I put the mixer... I mean, it was like right next to the computer. It was going on recording, so I'm like, this is... I can't do that.
Yeah, I mean, we did this because it's the furniture we had. So I don't know how permanent the setup's going to be.
Mm-hmm.
Table's already not big enough. I thought it got a table that was a good size, but apparently it's not. She got one size larger.
Yeah, when you see it empty, you're like, great.
when the room is empty, it's like, I don't know what we could fit in here. And then like when I see the table at the store, and I'm looking at the table that's way longer. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I think the middle one is the one we want.
Mm-hmm.
I could just get another one of these.
Yeah,
and then double it that way.
Since we've been looking at houses, it's the same thing. You walk into empty rooms, you're like, this is big.
Yeah. We're going to need so much stuff to fill up in here.
And then
actually.
I'm getting my own dedicated studio when we move into the new house.
Oh, yeah. That's the way to do it.
Yeah.
That was the point of moving here so quickly from the last place. Because the last studio was pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Like location. I feel like this is cool. But they have our own studio, though. Dedicated studio that we can trick out the way we need to. We're gonna set up a camera here soon.
Oh, nice.
really?
he knows about this. No, not a camera, but a phone.
Well, I mean, even
to do Periscope.
Those HD. Have you seen Answer Pants? Either live or on YouTube.
Yeah.
Like those are HD cameras, like computer cameras that are like, they're like $30.
Yeah.
And they look great.
And Ivan just has them like in the corners or whatever. No, but we're doing specifically to do Periscope. So right, we won't be streaming on anything other than Periscope for the live show. So we need, I'm thinking this will work.
Well, what's good for that, like, because otherwise, you know, we weren't really interested in YouTube all that much.
Mm-hmm.
But...
You can stream live on YouTube.
We're just all you do is record while you're doing that. So like, you know, if you do it on Periscope, then literally all you have to do is like, you know, create an account, dump it on YouTube, and just mention it's on YouTube if you want.
Yeah.
It's like there's like no effort.
And a lot of people use that. People prefer that, you know.
Yeah.
So it's good. That is something I've been meaning to look into. We've been doing a lot of overhauling lately on the show, getting ready to monetize the website. Just did a new template for the website and shit. So a lot of things get ready to change. The Periscope thing is one of them. What do you think of this? I'm thinking there's a cable that's an XLR, the male XLR, that I could plug into mic 4
mm-hmm.
and then have that going out.
See how? Into
the phone. We're just going to pair. I'm trying to. I want the Periscope.
Yeah.
Right? But I want the sound that people hear on the user end to be what's coming out of our microphones.
Instead of the mic.
Instead of the mic on the phone.
Yeah.
And for an output, I don't have an XLR out. Well, I do, but they're being used to go into the into my digital interface.
Are you recording the video? Oh, no, because when it's live, yeah, no, you're right, okay.
Just doing it live. And then Periscope, I believe, saves all the videos for you. They save the videos and the stats.
I wouldn't doubt it, probably.
So then you can just link back to them. Guys, check this out, you know? And then the thing with Periscope is then it's driving more. The idea is a lot of people on Twitter use it, drive more traffic to the website. Hmm. Hence the whole monetization.
That's my big thing, starting up a new network and everything, like the website. You know what I mean? Like, I'm doing Squarespace.
Are you? Okay.
Yeah. But
I've been wanting to look into Squarespace. I might try to convince them at work to do that.
I mean, it's nice. The only thing, like, it's one of those things where they're like, oh my God, I can easily do this and that, you know? But then when it's like, I want this, like, slightly higher, or this to be moved, like, you have to, you know, talk to somebody who knows. You know what I mean? Like, it's one of those things where you're like, I just want this up like a millimeter. Like,
yeah,
you know?
That's when it gets like coding and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, you have only so much customization you can do.
Exactly.
Until you have to, like, get into the actual. Yeah, that's why I am fortunate to know Ed through SBK Live. Mm-hmm. He started as SBK's intern on SBK Live, but then, like, he became a valuable part of everything, and he was, like, good for website shit. He helped me with the initial website design and get it all up and running. But I'm the one who maintains it. But whenever I have a problem coding or whatever, I hit him up. He jumps right on it. It's awesome. It's pretty sweet.
SBK Live, I think, is the perfect reason that podcasts are going to take over. Mm. Because, don't get me wrong, I love Jim Phillips.
Yeah.
But I love SBK. I liked SBK way better, you know? But when I listened to the radio, was the time. So I missed SBK a lot.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Because he was on it in the evening.
And I was doing stuff and not listening.
Yeah. You have to make it a point a lot of times.
Right.
Unless you work nights or something.
And that's just it. Or if you're a huge fan of like Monsters in the Morning.
Uh-huh.
I'm not awake.
Yeah. They start at like 6 a.m.
Hmm?
And they know that. They know the first hour is a throwaway hour. They just do bullshit or whatever until people start waking up, hitting the road and stuff. And then I think the last hour is the same way.
Yeah.
Apparently, though, it's all about that midday show.
I love the midday show.
It's all about that time slot. That's supposed to be a cake time slot.
I was going
to
say,
lots of numbers, pretty easy to maintain.
Yeah, I always thought that, I always heard that that was like the starter one. Like, you know what I mean? Like, basically, like the most coveted was the morning.
Yes.
And then
I think yes.
Yeah.
Because it's bigger.
And I always thought
bigger,
like,
audience.
The gap, mostly because, you know, if anything, if you're a fan of whatever's on in the afternoon, you're gonna be you're gonna listen to it maybe on your lunch. I mean, you know what I mean? Like,
Find a way to tune in.
If you're a fan, you'll find a way, but it's still bit. It's, you know what I mean? Like, it's the one that's really hard to get.
Yeah.
Yeah,
talk radio is a weird thing. Now it's popping off in Tampa.
Yeah.
The Bone, that is mega popular over there now. And then they were going to come here, and The Bone was going to be broadcast in Orlando as well. But whatever company owns Cox Media, they decided the station that they had here, they're getting ready to flip to The Bone, so it would have been two cities. They went country music instead.
Yeah.
Which Orlando does not have enough country music stations.
Did you see the...
like, so what, number six?
I know, right?
Yeah.
Did you see the... this was a while ago. They did a thing where you could be... basically, it was open audition for getting your own show.
Okay. Oh, for
The Bone.
For The Bone, really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
And I mean, there was like 1,000 people there. It was ridiculous.
Yeah, no shit. I would have auditioned.
Yeah, and for like a good 5-10 minutes, you know, you're up there talking to... Drew was the only one I knew.
Okay.
And then three other people, all of which were...
That have shows already over there?
That worked
there?
So it wasn't too intimidating because I, you know, it was just like, I don't know you guys.
Yeah. Fuck these guys. I know this other guy. He's just a dude.
Yeah. And I was like, you know, and he's like, you know, what kind of show were you thinking? And I'm like, just, you know, regular talk. But I said, you know, lots of different segments, you know, it's like, do you have any ideas for any segments? I said, well, you know, I thought I would get into like a small sports segment because I think it'd be funny because I don't know anything about sports. You know?
That would be the hook.
Yeah.
Let's talk sports with a guy who knows nothing about sports.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, I would just say a bunch of stupid shit that, you know,
yeah,
didn't even make sense or something. and but is obviously trying really hard to know what they're talking about.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was funny because I go, he goes, well, who do you think's gonna take it all the way this year in the NFL? You know, and I was just gonna spout off a name real quick, you know, and I go, I don't know, the Ravens. I'm like, fuck, that's a good answer.
I think Ravens have it there. Yeah,
they won the championship that year. I was like, damn it.
That's really funny.
I should have said like the Browns.
I don't know, the Yankees. I have no idea.
Yeah. Well, cause see, the
Manchester
thing is,
United.
To make it actually funny, one of my first thoughts was like the Browns or something like that.
Yeah.
But that's almost not entertaining because that's hack comedy. Like you because name the worst one.
You're going to the most obvious one.
Exactly. You know. And I saw, I just Ravens popped out, and I'm like, shit, I lost. It's over.
That's funny. Yeah. But when they hit you on the spot like that, you're auditioning. Well, like, what do I do?
My wife's a big Steelers fan. So, like, anything specifically Steelers, you know, and of course, they're the rivals.
Yeah.
I know.
That's true.
So, I just spat out something I knew, and I'm like, shit.
That's very true. Fucking Steelers fans are everywhere. What do you think about this, Drew? By the way, the show has started.
I know nothing about sports.
This is the beginning of the show.
And I really don't care about sports.
Yeah, there's a new format that you were doing where we just talk.
I like that.
Yeah, that's what we're doing. You don't know nothing about sports, Drew?
No, nothing about sports.
But you got a fantasy team going.
Mm-hmm.
We're playing each other.
Correct.
Didn't you win last week?
Yes.
So you know something about sports?
No.
I was thinking about doing that online gambling thing.
The FanDuel.
Yeah, and then just like Christmas treeing the fuck out of it and just seeing what happens.
It's luck, dude. A lot of it is luck. I mean, sure, you can make some educated guesses.
Of course.
But you can pick the best people out there every week, and then they can all go out there and break bones and get concussions.
Oh, and that was the big thing too, was just that I really think as far as like, say you got like a chance to do a good pick or whatever,
because
it's like a lottery, isn't it? Where you can't just pick the good. Yeah.
Well, there's two styles. There's a lottery style, and then there is a auction style.
Okay.
Which is interesting.
I was going to say.
More strategy involved. You go... like lottery style, where you go around one at a time at making your pick.
Like a draft.
Yeah. You go around one at a time and you nominate a person. And the person's out there and then you start making, all right, $1, $2, $4. Then whoever outbids everyone else gets that player. So like when I did the auction draft this year, every other team had anywhere from 3 to 7 players already. Mm-hmm. I didn't have a single person.
Yeah.
But I had all my money and everyone else was depleted. So then I started asking for people that I really wanted and I was getting them like super cheap.
Yeah. Well, see, and that's just, the thing too is if I were like high on the lottery or something like that, you know, and you know, until I say I got the first pick, that's the other thing. Like all I have to do is if I know the name of a player, they're good. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, that can get you, though.
Oh, of course.
Because, like, that player's been around for so long. That got me in baseball. I was like, oh, Albert Pujols. This guy's been amazing for a decade. But that's the thing. I got him the year where it was, like, the end of that decade.
Yeah.
He got injured. His numbers were half of what they were supposed to be.
Yeah.
God damn it.
I'm the worst when it comes to baseball. I literally would be like, is Nolan Ryan still playing? Because I'm going to choose him.
Hey, you know what? Nolan Ryan played until he was, like, 88 years old.
Yeah, I know.
So that's a good guess no matter what. Someone asked me, we did this last week. Someone asked me what was the music that we played in the background.
Mm-hmm.
So here's a list of the songs that we played on last week's show. The Ant Word song, I Think You Freaky.
Okay.
I think you're freaky.
You think?
I think.
With an F.
Okay. You freaky.
Okay. Or a PH.
Gotcha.
No F.
I think it'd be better with a PH.
It would be better with a PH. Yeah. You can tell them that to their face. They scare me. A song called Czars. I think it's also the Entwords. Unchained from the Django Unchained soundtrack. It's a James Brown
is it
Tupac mix.
Is it ED or just D?
Unchained?
Yeah.
ED. the Benny Benassi song, Satisfaction, but it was the RL Grime remix. It was all trappy and stuff. Palms Red by Protest the Hero, Hourglass by Survive, Deliverance by The Air I Breathe, Emergency Broadcast Syndrome by Every Time I Die, as well as California Gracefully Every Time I Die. Those are all songs for you.
I actually just thought of a great idea for a segment.
Oh, yeah?
Okay.
Go ahead.
On a show, literally just be like, okay.
I'll give you an intro. Here we go. Edge's new ideas.
Yes.
Perfect.
Nice. Nice.
All right, hit us.
All right. You say a rap lyric, right?
Okay.
And the person has to guess how it was spelled in the liner notes.
Ooh.
The official spelling of it?
Yeah. Like,
that could be difficult.
Yeah.
Too funny.
Literally, you'd be like, I'm sorry. It was duh, not T-H-E.
Yeah. I'm sorry. They dropped the G in that one. Never
sorry.
It with an apostrophe.
Yep. That happens from time to time.
Yeah, name for that segment. How they spell it? How they spell it with that G? With Steve Etchy, with Etchy. You go by Etchy.
I get it.
Podcast wise, right?
Yeah.
Never use the first name.
It's spilled over so much. The majority of the people that I know call me Etchy.
Then just go with it.
Some people that I've known for 3 or 4 years don't know my real name.
Sweet.
That's funny.
Man.
That's happy with this game.
I'm looking for, I look forward to that day.
No one knows who Juice Cogburn is.
That's the way I like it.
That's his secret public identity.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Because it doesn't cover his face or anything.
No.
He actually puts it out.
Get like a, you gotta get like a Jones. MF Doom mask.
Yeah. Ooh.
Yeah.
I would prefer a Mexican wrestling mask.
A luchador mask?
Yeah, luchador mask. The silver one. Like the dude in Sensei.
I like luchador masks.
Yep.
They're Sensei? Cool.
Yeah.
Sensei was super cool. Luchador masks are cool too, but also kind of freaky looking.
I don't even like
because
wrestling.
You don't see the lips, but you see the mouth moving.
That's weird.
It's like, what's going on with this guy?
They have some, don't they, where it's cut open? Like,
yeah, they do. Yeah, and that's kind of weird too.
That's even sort of, they get fish lips going.
I guess.
Because the mask is all pressed up against you.
just give me the one that the Spider-Man Deadpool style. No, yeah. No mouth.
Yeah.
And just let him speak muffled underneath it, but somehow everyone can understand him.
Tiny speakers on the outside of the uniform.
Genius!
Needs such a tight mask that when you put it on, you can lips up either way and you just got gums and teeth.
Yeah. Maybe. The gums work.
The gums and teeth mask.
Yeah. That would look even freakier.
That'd be frightening, yeah.
It's a super villain mask. Are we trying to be heroes here or villains? Are the three of us forming a group of heroes or a group of villains? What's going on here? Are we just super friends or the Legion of Doom?
Why can't we be both?
Yeah.
We can be the Legion of Friends.
The Legion of Friends.
I like that. Or the Legion of Friends. Or the Super Doom.
Super Doom.
Super Doom still sounds Super pretty Doom evil.
Yeah.
It sounds evil, no matter what. Legion of Friends sounds like it's confusing.
Yeah.
We are the Legion of Friends. We are sorry, you guys. We save puppies and kittens, but then we throw them into the
house. I was just saying, yeah.
Unless you pay us our ransom. We'll get your cat out of the tree, and then we'll shoot it.
For an exorbitant price.
Yes. There you go. We'll just charge everyone for our services.
Sounds good to me.
We'll save people. Like, we'll get to the house that's burning. I'm like, save my baby. It's on the top floor. We'll do it. How much you got on you? What's that watch? Is that a Tiffany?
I'm going to take those shoes, too.
Those are nice shoes. What size pants are those?
Well, I can't remember who it was, but there was a stand-up comedian that talked about, like, cats and what they're worth and stuff, you know, and he's like... he's like, I took it to the vet, you know, and he's like, because, you know, nowadays, like, you can get surgeries and stuff for, like, rich people with pets and stuff like that, and...
How much is your pet really worth?
Yeah, and he's like, I can get another cat for free.
Yeah.
He's like, why would I pay $1,000? You just told me it was broken.
Yeah. This cat is broken. We have the option of disposing of it.
Yeah.
Go into the store and get a new one.
Exactly.
Speaking of which, man, so I was at Target today and wandered down the Star Wars toys aisle. And I almost whipped
out. Did you
lose
yourself?
I almost whipped out my credit card. I almost whipped out something else. But then I almost whipped out my credit card and dropped like $300 on toys.
Wow.
Because they have the BB-8. Ball droid remote control. That's like this fucking big, $70 or $80, but it looks amazing. They have all manner of. They have two different the helicopter. You know the indoor remote control helicopter things. They have two of them that are Millennium Falcons. One really small one. That's one blade. Then one big ass fucking one that takes four blades. It's huge. It's like $80-$90. They have flying X-wing fighters with. Propeller blades in there. They have a speedster that they call an anti-gravity speedster. You somehow connect it to your wall and it'll run up the wall and along the ceiling and you remote control that way. They had another fucking X-Wing that was like this fucking big. It was like a foot and a half long.
And it flies.
It was huge. And it flies.
For reals.
They all fly for realsies. And they're all like minimum $60, $70 for smaller ones, and those big ones are over $100.
Yeah. Fucking drone technology.
Yeah, amazing.
You
got battles in the backyard.
Yes.
I had a really expensive helicopter I got for Christmas that I didn't even ask for it.
And someone
it's
gave
just,
it to you?
My mother-in-law, like, she's just good with that type of stuff. Like, I never know what it is, but when I open it, I'm like, oh my, I didn't know I needed this.
But now I have it. Now I do. That's awesome.
Yeah. It's I'm going to get an indoor one next time because I do.
Is it a big one or?
It's pretty big. It's a helicopter. And I mean, it's like a foot and a half, 2 feet almost. I mean, it's pretty big.
That's
yeah.
Big. Yeah.
And, but it's
like, would you hurt yourself if you got your hand caught in that blade as it's going?
No, but it's because it's got those flexi blades like that.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, and it's really fun, but I hardly ever get a chance to do it.
Really?
You know, because,
it's so big, I imagine you have to take it outside, right?
Yeah. Oh yeah. So you can't do it indoors.
Yeah.
But it's funny, actually, it says on the package, it's like indoor, outdoor, and the picture, they were flying it like in a gym, like with a basketball court, like a high school gym. And I'm like, indoor, well, like yeah.
They mean they're like an empty warehouse indoor.
Exactly.
Is what they mean. That's hysterical.
I want to get an indoor one. I'd use it all the time.
I know, just sitting here, right, just flying around right now while we're doing the show. I just fly it over your head, like almost like touch the top of your head and then fly back up.
Especially the little ones.
Probably the ceiling fan and then a brick.
Yeah. They don't make much noise, the little ones. I don't think.
They don't make
much noise. The big one doesn't make that much noise.
That's what I was wondering, too, looking at the Millennium Falcon with the four fucking blades in there. It's like, I wonder if you turn this thing on, it's like, wah! You try to fly it around your room.
I was talking to somebody about, they had just done a shoot where they kept wanting, they're like, oh, we want a bunch of drones that have, there's these huge drones that actually carry red cameras on them. Which, which for anybody that doesn't know, red cameras cost a fortune. If you have like all the accessories and stuff to really shoot something nice, I mean, we're talking like it can easily run you $100,000.
Yeah, they're the top of the line digital cameras.
Yeah.
And then to have that on a drone means now you can get all these sweet aerial shots that before you would have to rent a crane or a fucking helicopter. Now anyone can get these sweet shots.
But what people don't realize, he was complaining about it because I think it was for like golf or something. So I mean, like they had like the director or producer or whoever got like 8 of them or something. And he's like, they're fucking loud. Like you can't, you know what I mean? They're so loud that they can't be anywhere near where there's supposed to be audio.
Yeah, you can't. That's what I'm saying. They're good for aerial shots.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, where you it doesn't matter.
You can't like hover close to your actors.
No.
Unless you want to do some fucking ADR later, in which case then you really have an 80s looking movie.
Oh my God. Yeah.
I love that shit though.
Yeah.
I love it when it doesn't come close to matching up where it sounds like they're in an echoey chamber, but they're outside.
That actually reminds me. This has bothered me since I saw it in theaters. Speed.
Uh-huh.
There's a line where he wants to get off the bus.
Uh-huh.
But he says he's going to get back on.
Uh-huh.
And Dennis Hopper goes, all right. And he goes, but you better get back there real fast. He does not say that at all. Like his lips.
Oh, the way his lips go.
His lips, like it was not even like it was out of sync. No. It was a different line.
That's funny.
And I want to know what that line was.
I wonder what he said. You could read his lips. You gotta find the deaf person.
Yeah.
It's like, can you please read these lips?
And mute it too.
And then give me the variations of what he's possibly saying.
Yeah.
Because some words look like other words. Yeah,
that was my first rated R movie.
Speed, was it?
Yep.
In a theater?
Yeah.
Or in general?
I don't remember. But, I mean, I was in fifth grade. It was probably, my first one.
I can't remember the first one I saw in theater.
Die Hard 2.
Die Hard 2 for you, which was like 1990-91. Yeah, you were a baby. You were very impressionable. Mm-hmm. No wonder you curse so much when you get frustrated.
And think about putting pieces of ice through people's eye sockets.
Oh, that's part so awesome.
Yeah,
I know. That was awesome.
I'll never forget that scene, ever.
I definitely saw Die Hard like on video, but I don't think I saw it in a theater. I do remember seeing Speed.
Yeah.
In a theater. Yeah, with my cousin, who's even younger.
I saw it in the theater twice, which is unusual for me. I don't usually...
Really?
Yeah. But, I mean, again, I was in fifth grade. Like, when you're watching that kind of movie and you're a kid like that, it's just... It kind of reminds me of that kid from Last Action Hero, you know? He's just like, oh!
Yeah. You know? Everything's blowing your mind.
The wonderment.
Hell yeah.
I kill a lot of my... mother-in-law's wonderment. Like when we're watching a movie, she's like, that's amazing. I'm like, it's blue screen. See, they cut around it, and then they do this and that, you know? She's like, shut up.
Why you ruin? My mom's the opposite way. She watches something. Well, it's sort of the same thing. Like, The Inglourious Bastards.
Yeah.
Where Brad Pitt's like carving the swastika into Hans Landa's forehead.
Yeah.
And it's a close with a knife like digging in there. You see the skin coming up.
Yeah.
And my mom's watching it. She's like, ooh, we're sitting on the couch next to each other. She's like, ah, and she's like covering her eyes.
Yeah.
I'm like, Mom, it's a special effect. It's fine. It's a fake skin and it's not real blood. Just watch it.
But that's the best part though. When, you know, like that means you did a good job. Yeah. Like the person that did it.
Yeah.
I actually don't have a Ustream account anymore. I could use it to if I'm watching podcasts or something like that live and I type and stuff like that. But I'm on that account, I'm not allowed to broadcast anymore. Because when I was on Etchy and Bronco, when we had a break in the action, like we would go smoke a cigarette or whatever and play a couple songs. And
you would just show everyone faces of death?
Yeah. Well, we had a slideshow and we had a zombie party, which... this is like a long time ago, but basically what it was we got, you know, professional makeup, We got we made our own fake blood, and it turned out really good too. And so me and my friend Scott, we got shit, I haven't seen this guy in so long. I can't think of his name now. But
Jerry, Bob, Jones, Eddie, nah,
it was
Johnny.
It was a name that wasn't a name. You know what I mean? Like
Popo.
That was it.
All right.
So, so we've got him laying on the ground, just absolutely covered in blood. And it was the time, it was soaked into the clothes.
Ooh,
you know what I mean? Yeah. It wasn't just like splattered everywhere all amateur style.
It was soaked.
And like one of his shoes was off. You know what I mean? Like that whole deal.
Yeah, yeah.
And that was one of the pictures. And
it got reported?
And basically, no, we got kicked off and we didn't understand why. I had to contact Ustream and they were like, look, violence is like a one, you know.
One strike, you're out.
One strike, you're out. There you go. Thank you. And I was like, you know, and they're like, we were especially appalled that you put a picture of a dead body up there. And I was like, I love you. Like, you know, like I was, oh, this is one of the best things I'd ever heard somebody say.
That's hysterical.
Yeah.
Like, so. What if we produced living person? Can you restore our account, please?
Yeah, exactly.
You see, he's not an actual dead body.
Yeah, that's exactly. Crazy. Gully. That was his name.
Gully. Yeah. That is not a real name.
No.
It could be Irish, though. Hey, the old Gully over here.
I love that name. Because it's not, it's not like a name you tried to, come up with to be a badass or something. You know what I mean? Like, this is my friend Edge. You know what I mean? Like,
this is my badass friend Gully.
Yeah.
Please, guys, start calling me Gully. All right, I guess.
It makes me think of fishing, really.
Like, yeah.
I'm not even sure why.
Going down to the. Isn't that a body of water? A gully? Going down to the gully. Golly.
I think that's what I'm thinking of.
Golly, it's a gully.
Yeah, I was pretty sure it was a term. I just couldn't think of where from. But.
All right, you guys warmed up. Drew, barely saying anything.
I know.